Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have our good friend Mike Florio back on the show talking NFL with him. Some crazy conspiracy theories. We have our Week 8 picks and preview.
They're not conspiracies when they're actually true.
That's true. We have our Week 8 picks and previews. We do Fantasy Fuckboys with Florio, Fyre Fest of the Week, and Thursday Night Football. Another bummer of a game. We'll talk about it, though. Hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Okay, let's go.
Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike. If you want to join Buns of Anarchy, wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Today is Friday, October 28th, and Tom Brady should retire. The Buccaneers are a pathetic football team. Oh my God, Tom Brady should retire.
The short passes he was throwing tonight were particularly painful.
It's all
because
bad.
Because they were calling these very short passes for him to throw, and he was off target on the easy ones. It was bad. He had a couple wide open receivers that he missed tonight, and he just looks sad.
He looks like the whole team is not on the same page. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. Why does he have to keep doing this? Like, this is one of those situations where maybe it was because he thought this defense would be better. So, and he does have more arm strength than Peyton Manning did in his last season. But that last, remember that last season of Peyton Manning where it was just after the first quarter, every game in his Toradol shot, you know, kind of dissipated. He just looked sad. And we're not all the way there, but the whole team is broken. And Tom Brady looks sad. And let me throw this in there, which I think because Tom Brady gets all the headlines and, like, what's wrong with him? Todd Bowles sucks as a coach. I'm sorry. He sucks.
So you could definitely make the case that as bad as the team is right now, some responsibility, if not all of it, needs to go to the
head
coach.
They get so many penalties and so many dumb things.
So they're dealing with backup linemen. Their offensive line sucks. Tom Brady's mad at them. They're mad because they're getting embarrassed on national TV by their geriatric quarterback screaming at him because it's past his bedtime. And it's painful to watch. It makes you feel bad for Tom Brady, which is something I didn't know could happen. Like, Tom Brady, there's a guy that he's got it all.
Everything.
Until literally the start of this season.
Yeah.
Everything fell apart for Tom Brady at the start of the season and on the field, too. Like, I'm not talking about, like, the off-the-field stuff at all. I'm saying, like, it's sad. I'm sad watching
him. How badly do you think he could wish he could go back in time and just keep the retirement? Because
but you know what?
Not only did it, like, he won the Super Bowl at Tampa Bay, so he has 7. Obviously, I don't think anyone will ever get close to that in terms of quarterbacking. And remember, even though they lost in the playoffs last year, it was that crazy game against the Rams that was like, oh my God, Tom Brady's going to pull one last rabbit out of his hat and they end up losing, but it wasn't him. It was the defense and having that lapse at the end of the game to Cooper Kupp. Like, it was not obviously, you know, going off on his white horse and winning a Super Bowl, but it was pretty close in terms of, holy shit, our lasting memory is like, even at the end, you'd still be afraid of Tom Brady no matter what the score is. Now we get to see him on a Thursday Night Football, which Thursday Night Football in its own has just become sad. And it just looks sad. Everything looks sad.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with the fact that he wants to go back.
No, I'm saying if he could go
because,
back.
Because he, you ever make a really bad decision and instead of changing your mind about that decision, you just double down on it?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
And then you just dig in?
He's tripled down.
That's basically like kind of what this show is to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And if you're just, if you wait out a take long enough, you'll eventually be right, even if you're very wrong.
Except Todd Bowles being a good
Except
coach.
Todd Bowles, I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
What
that
if
might
he,
not be
now, what if he goes to Blaine Gabbert? Is it time to put Blaine Gabbert in?
No, Kyle Trask.
That's right. Kyle Trask is next up.
He's the future.
He's the future. Put Kyle Trask or Blaine Gabbert in the game. Maybe do a little Bailey Zappi Mac Jones with the two of them.
Yeah.
And then get a spark going. Maybe that way you could maybe beat the Panthers the next time you play them.
Yeah, and we're obviously the story is Tom Brady because it does look sad. But the Ravens were phenomenal. And the Ravens, like, they kind of got their juice back in terms of running the football. They ran for 230 plus yards tonight. Lamar was incredible. Like, I don't know. The Ravens, like, I hate doing the argument like, oh, this team could be 7-0 or this team. But the Ravens have been, they've had a fourth quarter lead in every game, and they've had some epic failures at the end of games. But it feels like they're starting to get everything right and starting to play that football style that they had a few years back where they just run it down everyone's throat and there was nothing anyone could do. Mark Andrews was out in the first quarter in this game, and they didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, so we talk a lot about these Tom Brady conspiracies. We've got Florio on later to talk more about those. So maybe we can talk about some things that are grounded in facts. And, Hank, you had a theory about what was going on tonight, right?
No, I was just saying. I mean, there was a report I saw Jerry Thornton put up. It was like Giselle gave Tom an ultimatum, you know, retire now. We can maybe, you know, reconsider things. And with the way that things are going.
That feels like a trap. I'm just going to say right now, that feels like a trap. Tom Brady, if you're listening, I know you're an AWL. That feels like a trap. That feels like you'd retire, and then she'd be like, just kidding.
But wait.
We're still divorced.
Wait, this was a Jerry Thornton exclusive report?
Well, no, that's just where I saw it. I'm just crediting where I saw it.
Well, okay. And we have the theory because we were supposed to have Julian Edelman in studio tonight, and he had to cancel about an hour or two before the game started. And Hank put on his tinfoil hat and was like, maybe he knows that Tom Brady's going to retire after this.
Yeah, I came to the Brady conclusion first after watching like the game. I said, this is bad. He's clearly frustrated. I've never seen him more frustrated after every throw. He's pissed off, yelling at receivers, yelling at himself. And I was like, he's going to walk away. Like, he might just walk off the field and leave. And then it clicked. It was like, we were supposed to have Edelman on. He canceled last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he knew. Maybe
that
he knows.
That would be the ultimate gambling brain of Tom Brady to be like, I'm just going to play one more game, and if we win this one, I'll stay. And it's like, no, your team is bad, dude. Just go away.
Well, it's got to be tough on him because he yells at himself so much, like Hank was saying. He's so mad at himself. Like, he after every single missed throw, he's just standing alone, just like screaming at his feet. And that's got to be bad for his psyche. That's not mentally healthy for anybody.
And maybe this actually is like his master plan. Like, we always give Belichick the benefit of the doubt with every move he makes. He's like, oh, Belichick did it again. What if Tom Brady's big plan here was for America to feel bad for him at the end? Because it is, like, I do feel bad for him. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, and I feel bad.
I didn't think it was possible to feel this way about Tom Brady.
Yeah, right. So,
like, Tom Brady's always been, like, the biggest prick because he's such an all-time winner. And there's never been a reason to even remotely feel bad about Tom Brady. And now it's like, I bet Tom Brady would switch places with me if he had the opportunity.
Yeah, he probably would. Todd Bowles, they're showing him right now. I know that this is very meatball-y of me to say, but like, just show a little bit of emotion here and there when your team sucks. Scream at someone. Get mad at something. You know what I mean?
Or at least at the refs.
Just do anything. Just don't be like half dead the entire time. Like, he's got Jim Caldwell face where he just like,
it reminds me
just
of
do something.
It reminds
dude.
Me of Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Steve Nash, when he's coaching the Nets, just doesn't open his mouth. What's that, Jake?
Well, yeah, last
he
night.
Just got pissed off.
Yeah.
Was that sarcasm?
Oh, no, I didn't see the Nets.
Yeah, last night he got kicked out of the game.
Good. Yeah, yeah, okay. That's
walking
good.
But it was, tunnel.
No, but it was. Things. It was. I actually thought you were making this point because it looked awkward.
I didn't.
It looked like he was being like.
Trying to?
Watch me. Be mad, and it's like, oh, dude, I don't think you have that in you. So maybe I take it back. Maybe Todd Bowles shouldn't, because we'd feel the same way. We'd be like, Todd Bowles, what's wrong with you, dude?
That's embarrassing. I missed get up this morning.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
on me. He went nuts last night. Yeah, and yeah, the Ravens, I have the Ravens back in my good tier. Maybe even Super Bowl contender tier. I feel like they're just always battling injuries, too. So once they get everyone back, and we saw DeSean Jackson for a minute tonight. Look, Tom Brady's getting sacked. We're still watching this game.
Oh, also tonight, Tom Brady got the all-time sack record against him.
Yep.
So it's a big time. Where were
big
you?
Ben's
moment.
Off the hook.
Big yeah. Ben was number one. Big Ben might. You know that movie with Bernie Mac, Mr. 3000, where he comes back just to get the 3000th hit. I wouldn't be shocked if Big Ben tried to come back later on this season and be like, come on, Mike, just. Just put me in the fourth quarter of a game one time for old time's sake, and just let me take one more hit.
But the only problem is, if Tom Brady plays like three more games, he's going to get sacked 25 more times.
That's true.
Because he's just getting brutalized.
Stathole Sports had the comparison of Tom Brady's season to the classic movie Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger, where his girl told him, if you really love me, you'll go out there and you'll lose every match that you have. And he was so dominant before that.
Yeah.
And then lost it all for love.
He's sending Giselle a message.
Yeah. Like, I can't go on without you, babe.
And you know what does suck, too, is that the people who basically spent the last 10 years saying that Tom Brady is, this is the year, they got the satisfaction.
No.
They shouldn't have done this.
Not
I agree
they
with
did.
You there.
Not yeah. really. Because
that's not true, but.
Because people didn't do it this year.
I know
year.
What you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking to, like, Fitzpatrick and Jason McCourty about. We were saying, like, somebody needs to be the Max Kellerman to say, like, I think Tom Brady, this is the year that Father Time wins.
Right.
But nobody really did that this year.
Yeah.
And right, if he gets this over, it's like.
They're fighting for the over
goat,
for you, Hank.
Goat status forever.
We'll stay on till we find out if he gets the over here. I'll do an ad real quick.
This would be an all-time part of my take moment if we spent the last, like, 12 minutes literally burying Tom Brady's
corpse. Oh, we'll keep it all in.
And then.
Yeah, an onside kick. Yeah, like a touchdown onside kick.
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
The Bucks are still trying to get the over for us.
I mean, that'd be awesome if Mike Evans got a touchdown right here.
I'm rooting for you guys.
Tom Brady no longer washed if he just passes it to my sweet boy Mike.
Yeah, so I don't know what else. I mean, like shins. I said, the Ravens are back, and the Bucks, they're just pathetic. What's their schedule coming up? Because they need to play.
I mean,
Northwestern. They need to play Northwestern.
Not to jinx everything, but. Things are looking pretty good for my Falcons' future.
Yeah.
Ooh, they're home against the Rams.
That's going to be a tough one.
Home against the Seahawks.
And Browns also and Saints. They're tough. Never going to win again. They're just never going to win a game again.
Do
they have a bye week at least? No.
Yeah, after Germany.
Yeah, after the Seahawks. Okay.
Big news, though.
And think about it. Like, if you had a big hat, I know you. Like, if you had a trip to Germany and your team was playing bad and you could retire.
Well, you could get some kind of treatments. I wouldn't be shocked if Tom Brady got everyone the treatment.
I don't know. A long flight's a great thing to push off.
I think Giselle's family spent enough time and effort trying to get out of Germany.
Everything's a batted ball now.
You know what the Bucks fans should say if they lose that game? Leave Coach Bowles in Germany.
Yeah.
That's good.
Nice. Never heard that one before.
I like that one.
Yeah.
The other big news was LeBron James disavowed the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, wow.
He broke it up. Friendship over the Dallas Cowboys. The Cleveland Browns are now my new best friend, LeBron James, because he thought the Cowboys are too problematic. So now he's rooting for the Browns.
Okay,
we don't have any skeletons in their closet.
He has no idea Deshaun Watson.
No idea.
There's a flag on the play, a touchdown, but a flag on the play. I feel like it's against.
Could
the
have
Bucks.
Been an offside.
I feel like that one's against the Bucks. Julio Jones made an appearance.
Also,
it turns out getting a bunch of guys who are
offside.
Oh, the over.
Touchdown?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wait, 49 seconds.
Yep.
had too much time on the clock. If they get
you need an onside kick.
Yeah. Also, later on in the show, we talk about the NFL upcoming weekend, and that was taped before Tony got traded to the Chiefs.
Yes.
So now he's on the Chiefs, and everybody's like, that's not fair to give Patrick Mahomes this weapon.
Another weapon.
Of a guy that I think he has like two catches. How many NFL catches does Tony have?
Oh, he's got more than that. He had like one or two explosive games in his career.
Oh, he had that one big game.
Yeah. He had like a really nice game. Oh, another sad. Oh, it's just like dropped passes, sad football.
Oh, there's another flag.
It's just sad. The Bucs also are, I feel like, anecdotally, they run the most plays that just don't count because they'll just be like, they'll run a really long play and then there'll be a flag and have to run it again.
41
just,
catches.
They just spend so much extra time running plays that don't end up meaning anything.
Flag on Queen.
This would be so funny.
That's how they buried her.
50, 41 catches.
You're on a roll.
For Kadarius Toney.
How many?
41.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Okay, yeah, that's significantly more than I thought he had.
Yeah, I remember he had one explosive game.
He was out for most of the season, though. I just wonder if he's going to be one of those guys that gets to Kansas City and he's healthy.
I think he's definitely retiring after this game, how the refs are...
Well, no, because they had this comeback up, and then that's officially it. Just absolutely stuffed. Tom Brady's just standing there. All right, let's do... you know what? If they come back and win, let's just keep all of this in. That would be very funny. So we were supposed to have Jules on. Hank asked for us to wait to do the lottery ball machine for when Jules was in here because he said, quote unquote, I want to get my first win with Jules. We were like, well,
what's wrong with that?
We're still going to end the show with the lottery ball machine because that's what we've been doing for 2+ years now. Watch PMTV out now. Hank first machine. He's just getting dominated. But at the end of the show, I did tell him we would do an extra one when Jules was here. This is before we knew Jules was out. So, Hank, this one's official. This counts. You get two cracks at it today.
17.
Two. And you're still not going to get it.
You're going 17?
I'm going 17.
If someone else gets it, does it count?
Yes. This is an officially 69. Sanctioned lottery ball machine. What were the numbers that we haven't gotten?
Spoiler.
Oh, well, just tell me one of them.
Six.
Six. Okay, I'm going with six.
I'm going 12 for Tom Brady.
Okay. Also, NASCAR this Sunday, part of my cheesesteak car. Check it out.
This is our first doubleheader since August 28th, 2022.
Wow.
Who could forget?
Okay, Max?
It's 20. Two.
And then we're going to go right into Florio, and then our weekend preview.
18.
If Hank gets it, everyone's going to be so mad.
Oh, my God.
79.
Thought that was 69 for
thought
the
Thought it was
78. Hank, just like I predicted, you weren't going to get this one.
Good one.
All right, let's go into Florio, and then we have Week 8 picks and preview and Firefest. Okay, we now welcome on our very good friend, recurring guest. You can see him all the time on the cock. Pro Football Talk. He's got a website too. It's 21st anniversary coming up on Tuesday. Do I have that right, Michael?
21 years.
Incredible.
2001, November 1, we launched, spawning ultimately the career of your co-host. That was our only purpose. We all have a purpose. That was our purpose.
Thank you, Mom and Dad, for making a website. At any point, like leading up to that, were you like, there's a little bit more going on in the world right now in the fall of 2001. Maybe I shouldn't be using my time on a sports website.
Well, you know what happened was I was actually working for ESPN.com at the time 9/11 happened. I mean, you're hitting the nail right on the head. I was practicing law full time. And as far as ESPN knew, I was working on their insider NFL website full time. And it was like a weird sitcom premise trying to keep them from finding out. I also was a full time lawyer. And they offered me a one-year contract extension right after 9/11. It's like, you know, this life is too much. I'm working for ESPN from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. And then I'm trying to run my law practice after that. And this just isn't working. I want to start my own thing. I want to have immediacy with what I write. I don't want to have to wait for 3 hours for it to go through levels of editorial. And that was when I decided, fuck it. I'm just going to do my own thing.
I love it. So, looking back 21 years, it's a crazy accomplishment. I mean, we joke with you all the time and we, you know, belittle you and call you crazy. You did lose your mind the last few years, but the last 20, you know, being on the internet for 21 years, day in and day out, is incredible because, you know, we live it on our side. We know how hard that is. It's an incredible accomplishment. What's the one story that you look back and you're like, yep, that's the one that I loved writing, reporting, breaking, whatever it may be?
I think the one that really got us on the map happened when they found a dogfighting yard on Mike Vick's property in Surry County, Virginia, and everyone was trying to brush it under the rug. And my instincts from the get-go pointed to the idea that there's no way he didn't know what was going on. There's no way he's clueless about this. And he denied it, denied it, denied it. We kept pushing it. I know some people think it never would have come to a head if we didn't push it as hard as we did. I don't believe that. If people want to think that, that's fine. But I think that was kind of the moment we truly arrived. That was 2007, April, May, June timeframe. But it was just kind of a gradual, slow rolling snowball. We saturated the people in the business, coaches, GMs, agents, media people. And that's still the case. If we could ever get the same percentage of fans that we have, percentage of people in the business who live on the website, I'd be able to retire a couple of times over.
Yeah.
It's just never really caught on that. And that's fine. I'm happy with where we are, but it's not the same saturation of the fan base as it is the saturation of the people who are actually in the business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up something that I saw you put out, a more recent thing that you've done here. This was October 23rd, a picture of you in your garage and you're standing next to, I mean, it looks like you got some great cars there. Don't want to speculate, but that looks like it might be an Audi or an Acura. And you're wearing a nice suit on top, really nice suit. And then on bottom, you're wearing like size 55 athletic shorts and then slippers. Is this what you're wearing when I see you on TV? Are yes. you wearing, it's an absurd outfit.
Well, and it's funny because the night before, it was my nephew's senior year homecoming.
Oh, yeah, Michael Pauly.
Yeah, we saw the
Michael
picture.
Mikey
Pauly.
And we had a bunch of the kids here because it's a very picturesque. You guys have been here in the fall. Very, very nice place to do photos. And so my wife saw me going upstairs to the studio for Football Night in America, and she just started laughing. She's like, "You look ridiculous." And she pulled her phone up and she took a picture and she sent it to me. And it's like, you know, what the hell? And yeah, that's what's the point? What's the point? I mean, I have jeans on right now, but
this,
like, what's
this
the
picture
point
is ridiculous, though. You have to admit.
Well, that's fine.
Have you looked
that's
at it
good.
Before you posted it? Because it's,
I don't care. You guys don't understand. I mean, you know me well enough. Big Cat knows me well enough. No, I don't give a fuck.
No, I know you don't give a fuck. I mean, that's very clear with how your brain has gone the last few years. You don't
okay,
care. You don't care. All right, so let's talk some football, Mike, because we do have football. We're talking about football. Why? Let's do big picture. Why does this season suck so far?
Why do you think it sucks? You mean from the standpoint of not enough points?
That was a trick question. It doesn't suck because it's football. But why? Okay. There has been some complaints about maybe not the best games, a lot of Broncos games in prime time, some low-scoring games. Is there any reason, like talking to people in the league, is there anything that you can point to, or is this just a cyclical thing that we have to deal with and eventually we'll get the great football later on in the year?
I think there's a couple of factors here. And obviously, we know it takes time for offenses to get going because of limited reps now in training camp and offseason, and the preseason's down to three games. It takes the offenses a while to catch up with the defenses. And also, we've been spoiled the last 5 years by a great young group of quarterbacks and a great old group of quarterbacks. Well, now the old quarterbacks aren't as great as they were, and it shows. And the Russell Wilson stuff, we've had four of their games in primetime. We got three more standalone Broncos games, and he just doesn't have it anymore. He's only 33, but he lost his mobility to the extent that he used to have it, and it's affected his game, and that hurts. Sims has a theory, Chris Sims, co-host of PFT Live, Monday through Thursday, although it's Tuesday through Thursday in season.
Noted Blake Bortles hater, but go ahead.
And spleen That's not right. haver.
Yeah, no spleen gene. He thinks that we've gotten to the point in the NFL where the defensive linemen are so good, they just overpower the offensive lines.
Huh.
And there are so many good defensive linemen, and there's so much value placed on pass rusher that they are just systematically overpowering. And, you know, you watch the average game. There's a lot of holding. You see guys coming around the edge, and they're getting grabbed, and they're getting pulled, and they're looking the other way on it. They're trying to keep the quarterbacks upright and let them do their thing. I think that's one of the big factors as well. And the scoring's down. And the NFL says it doesn't bother them. But you know what? When the scoring's up, they send out press releases every Monday. Hey, the scoring's up. Hey, record pace, this, that, and the other thing. The scoring's down, and the games aren't as exciting. But it is still football, so.
Yeah. But that's a good answer. The defensive lineman answer is something I haven't really thought about. We do have an insane group of talent when it comes to guys who can get to the quarterback. So that's a good answer.
Do you think that's because they're taking kids that are excelling at football in high school and early years of college, guys that are like stronger and more aggressive that could be playing on the offensive line? They're like, we could use you more. It's more important to have a strong pass rush than it is to build you up on the offense. Like, are we steering people that would be great, like guards and centers? Are we putting them along the defensive line instead?
I mean, certain body types, it's not going to matter. But when you have a guy, you know, like a tight end basketball player type, and that body can get molded in different ways, instead of putting 80 pounds on him and making him a left tackle, you let him stay streamlined and you let him be the guy that goes around the edge and gets after the quarterback like Kayvon Thibodeau. So I think that as we saw how much money pass rushers make, how important they are, and it's usually around the postseason when they really remind us how important they are. And how many Super Bowls have we seen in the past 15 years where a great pass rush just overwhelms a great quarterback? It goes back to Super Bowl 42, Giants Patriots. There have been several since then where it's like we're reminded, you know, probably a good idea to have good pass rushers. And guys who want to get paid, they're going to gravitate toward the skill sets. They're going to set them up to get the money. And really, between offensive and defensive line, what are your stats if you're an offensive lineman that anybody gives a shit about?
Yeah.
If you're a pass rusher, you got sacks. And so you have a way to chase some glory and become a star and make a hell of a lot of money. So I think there's something to that. That, you know, guys get pigeonholed and they get pushed one direction or the other as they're coming up. And guys are going to willingly say, I want to be a pass rusher more than I want to be a pass blocker.
Yeah, there's no fantasy stats for an offensive lineman. You don't get credit for pancake.
You should start doing that.
Yeah, you should. Do
a fantasy league for offensive linemen only.
Do you think that's possible, Mike?
Don't. I'm not. Wow.
Okay, all right. Fine. We love to play a game here where we can just hypothesize on what stories you love to write about. When Tua got concussed for the second time in 2 weeks, we're like, oh, this is Florio. Like, he's going to be all over this. And I also am guessing you love this new protocol where if anyone stands up and wobbles a little, they're out for like 3 weeks. How much are you loving this? Because you like Sky Judge for the pass interference. You like the game being as slow as possible and as many reviews as possible.
You know, I'm just going to ignore the gratuitous shit that you're adding to your comment and just answer your question. Look, I think it's very important for the NFL to take the health and safety of the players seriously, because if the players don't, that's one of the things we learned through the Tua example. He was the one selling the back injury stuff stronger than anyone, to the point where the doctors bought it and didn't even bother to think maybe he's selling us a bill of goods here after they saw him wobble around. I think that the future of the sport is so critically tied to the willingness of parents to let their kids play that the NFL has to button up its protocols to the point where it's perfection and hope that those protocols trickle down. I look at what happened between Sunday, September 25th, and Thursday, September 29th, and then throw in this Cameron Brate thing that didn't get the attention it should have, where he had a head injury, was off the field for a couple of plays, somehow got back in, and God forbid he would have gotten another head injury. That's what happens to high school players. I mean, if I'm the parent of a high school kid now and I see that, I say, if the NFL can't protect their guys, what hope does rinky-dink a little high school conference ever have of protecting my son? And, you know, I lived through that 3 years of my son playing high school football, scared to death every snap. What's going to happen to him? And I think the NFL needs to instill enough confidence in parents. And Big Cat, you're going to be there soon enough.
Yeah, no, these are good points.
And so you want to do everything you can to make sure people realize they have faith in the system. They need to do more at the high school level. There needs to be a greater willingness to pull guys off the field. There's still kids dying every year in high school football. But the moment that parents say, no more, no more, that's the moment it becomes harder for the NFL to have a supply of quality football players. Yeah. So it's an existential reality, and it bubbled up 10 years ago, and it's kind of back now with this Tua stuff, and they're hoping that it dies down and parents don't freak out and tell their kids they can't play football. So that's the core of it.
It's a good answer to that question. You did love writing about it.
You did.
Look, I like good stories. Whatever it is that people are interested in. My guiding light 21 years ago was, if I'm interested in it, I assume enough other people are going to be interested in it to come read it. So sometimes I'll admit my sense of what's interesting is a little fucked up, but that's the privilege of owning it. If I think I like it and I know some other people don't like it, too bad. Just scroll by it if you don't like it. Tough shit. Keep going, and you'll find a story.
I remember 10 years ago, you were like, I think it'd be really interesting if Terry Bradshaw was dead.
Yeah.
And then you blocked that.
15 years ago.
And I'm sure.
I'll eventually be right.
Yeah, you were first. I'm going to credit you when he does die.
I'm sure you.
As first reported by FootballTalk.com.
Yeah, you know what the internet needs more? It needs, 50 more blogs on Tom Brady having a conversation with Stephen Ross once. That's the stuff, That's the juice.
It was more than once.
I knew.
Yeah, but
how many times?
What happens is every time we bring it up on the show, Hank comes at me and he's like, "You and your stupid internet dad with your little Twitter fingers love to speculate."
What's Hank got a problem with?
He thinks that it's fake news. He thinks that Tom Brady wasn't actually going to be the owner of the Dolphins.
The guy's Bruce Beal, not Stephen Ross. Bruce Beal's the right hand man of Stephen Ross. Beal and Brady are tight, and this has been coming for several years. And they try, as the NFL found, I don't know what else I need to say. The NFL issued a statement saying they tampered with Tom Brady in 2019. They tampered with Tom Brady in 2020. They tampered with him in 2021. They tampered with him in 2022. This was all Bruce Beal trying to get Tom Brady onto the Dolphins and talking about it too much. Tampering happens all the time. Most people keep their mouths shut about it. Beal was talking about it too much. And I also think that the NFL knew that Stephen Ross was trying to tank in 2019 to get Joe Burrow, but they don't want to tell the world that that's going on. So they felt like they had to get him some way, and this kind of fell into their laps.
Okay. Hank, do you have a comment about that? So, Murta, you're not supposed to say a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that early on. I think details have come out that might lend that to be true. But early on, before all the facts came out, it seemed like a tall tale.
Well, he was bringing the facts out.
Yeah,
right?
He was the fact giver.
That's what Mike was doing.
You want some reckless speculation?
Yes.
Some maybe informed speculation?
Yeah, fuck me up.
By the way, this is Mike Florio from his barn. Nothing can be held against him when he's in his barn.
No.
Yeah, international waters.
There's a theory in league circles, and I think I'm couching it properly, that the issues with Tom Brady and his wife blew up when the league announced the punishment of the Dolphins because of the flirtation with Brady, because she had, as the theory goes, no idea he was talking to the Dolphins about playing.
So Goodell got Brady divorced.
Wow. I like this, Mike.
I won't take it that step.
That is reckless speculation.
But I'm telling you, there are people who are employed by NFL teams who think, and when you look at the timeline, that stuff came out, and it was the next day he started missing practices.
Ultimate snake move.
I like this, Mike. Mike.
You thought four games for Deflategate was bad. He's going to end your marriage on top of that.
Mike, you got the goods, man. All right, so we'll do a more sensitive subject. That was too much where Hank – hitting him in tough spots. Around the league, do people think Bill Belichick has lost his fastball?
Look, I think here's the issue with Bill Belichick. And it's very simple.
Hank is giving you a face right now, by the way.
That's okay. He's got two kids working for him. And if one of those kids needs to be fired, he can't do it. And that makes it impossible for him to hold other people accountable. I think that's the root of where things kind of got wobbly. They get their asses kicked 47-17 in the playoffs. Maybe Steve Belichick should have been fired. You can't fire Steve Belichick if you're Bill. That's the problem with nepotism, which is rampant in coaching. And there's reasons for it. Gives the coach a way to reconnect with a kid that he ignored while the kid was growing up because he was working all the time. And now they get to work together all the time. And the kid's been around the game, so the kid's not freaked out by it. The kid's in a position where he understands the sport and he can maybe ease right into it as a good coach. But I think that's part of the problem. When you can't hold your kids accountable, you can't hold anybody accountable. And then you hear a lot of Belichick saying, I'm responsible, I'm responsible, I'm responsible. He's got all those Super Bowl rings. He doesn't want to have to hold anyone accountable because he can't hold his kids accountable. I think that's the root of it. And then this Josh McDaniels leaves. And so
they made
we get
the playoffs
Joe Judge,
last year, for the record.
They did make the playoffs last year. Hank wants to just,
they did make the playoffs, but they lost 47-17 for the record, too. And then Josh McDaniels leaves, and Joe Judge and Matt Patricia are giving the keys to the offense. And people are like, what the fuck's going on with that? If it was any other coach, we'd be laughing. We'd be like, this is ridiculous. Remember when Andy Reid decided to make Juan Castillo the defensive coordinator when he'd been the offensive line coach? And people were like, this is crazy.
Yep.
That's what we'd be saying about Belichick if he didn't have 6 Super Bowl wins. So, hey, they're getting better.
But he does.
He's the best coach of all time.
Look at the stuff with Mac Jones. Something weird is going on with Mac Jones. ESPN, I don't think Mac Jones likes the fact that he's gone from Josh McDaniels to a couple of guys who weren't offensive coaches. I think Mac Jones is maybe complaining too much about that to other people. It's gotten back to Belichick.
Ooh.
And now there's, you know, Belichick proving a point with some of this stuff that's gone on.
This is fan fiction.
Hank, Mike would never just like make something like
that.
That
sounds like an anti-Patriots erotica novel.
I want to defend Mac Jones for a second. I would defend Mac Jones in that if Matt Patricia became my offensive coordinator, I would complain. I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what are we doing?
It's
here?
Either him
I mean,
or
Hank, look at what happened Monday night. Yeah, what the fuck was that? He starts the game and then they yank him out. And Belichick says that was the plan all along. And guys like Ramondre Stevenson and Jacoby Myers are like, that wasn't the plan all along.
They said that pregame, though, that was the plan going into the game.
Yeah. What, Mike? Well,
not after like one or two series, I don't think. Like, that's. There's no chance that was the plan to take Mac Jones out that early in the game.
Well, do you have any intel on the ESPN Skycam wire?
The ball did not hit the Skycam wire.
Of course.
Can I just say this? I don't know that I'm supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah, go off.
I've seen the Skycam video. The thing doesn't wobble at all when the ball supposedly hits the wire.
Interesting.
The camera angle like is that. Straight and true the whole time.
What? There's a stabilizer in the camera.
Mike, how do you know that, Hank?
Mike, this brings up a question I don't think I've ever asked you. What fan base hates you the most?
They all do.
No, because but there's got to be one. There's got to be one that it's like it becomes personal.
It depends on what is going on at any given time. When Joe Burrow, for example, is coming out in the draft, and I'm told by people that I know and trust who are connected to Joe Burrow that he's thinking about making a power play and not playing for the Bengals, and someone tells me, as it's quoted off the record, of course, in Playmakers, if Joe Burrow was from Athens, Georgia, and not Athens, Ohio, he wouldn't have played for the Bengals. I had Bengals fans mad at me, even though it was 100% true.
Well, no, I can.
And then you get.
I can confirm that I offered Joe Burrow, hypothetically, $100 million guaranteed contract to go to the XFL at the time instead of the NFL, and he said, "If you can get me $100 million guaranteed, I'll do it." So you're right.
The Dolphins fans with two and on, I hear.
Well,
it
you're
from
wrong
them.
About that.
What do you mean?
You're Tuanon exists. Expect us. You and your butt buddy Chris Sims think that Tua is not a good quarterback when he's proven that he is.
What happens is when you just tell the truth and you say what you think and you'll criticize any team and you don't try to sugarcoat it, people get pissed off at you when you say bad things about their team. That's just the way it is. People watch games and they get mad at the announcers.
That's true.
Announcers biased in favor of one team. And then it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? But that's how fans are. Mm-hmm. And the passion that draws them to the sport and gets them to consume our content, yours and mine, that's the passion that makes them go a little nutty sometimes when they think somebody's being unfair with their team. So I can live with it.
Is there a fan base that likes you? I get the feeling that the Saints fan base likes you because you're openly antagonistic sometimes of the NFL. And they dig that about you.
Well, I mean, I won over the Saints fans because I thought Bountygate was bullshit and said so. I won over Patriots fans for a while because I thought Deflategate was bullshit and said so. And really, anytime the NFL goes after one of these teams, that's when I have an opportunity to start looking for the bullshit. And more often than not, I find it. Now, it doesn't win me any fans at 345 Park Avenue. That's a different story altogether. But the fan bases that feel persecuted by the league, those are the ones that end up aligning with me because I feel like far more often than not, the league has some agenda and they clumsily investigate these cases and they make an example out of someone, and it ends up being something that was just handled in a very piss poor way. Yeah.
So maybe can you give me a little bit of news that'll make me happy with you? That'll make me like, yeah, I love Florio. He's always right about everything. Can you just tell me that Snyder is going to have to sell the team, that Jim Irsay, the power play that he's putting on Dan Snyder is going to work?
Well, I think what needs to happen there is we all need to keep pressuring the league to do the right thing and be objective and fair, because the Beth Wilkinson investigation would have resulted in a report if they had actually asked her for a written report that would have included a recommendation that he'd be forced to sell the team. And the league brushed that under the rug because they didn't want to take on Dan Snyder at the time. And I think the concern was the league didn't want to set a precedent that could be used against other owners, where you have one disgruntled employee who complains loudly enough, they feel compelled to have an investigation, and then the investigator starts finding all this shit, and the next thing you know, the owner's got to sell. They don't want that coming back around and being used against them. And also, this idea from the ESPN report of a couple of weeks ago that there's a concern that Snyder's got dirt on people that he's ready to unleash, that's part of it too. I just think that there's a chance, and Albert Breer mentioned this the other day, that this all gets brushed under the rug with the Mary Jo White investigation, that they find that the claim made by Tiffany Johnston that sparked the Mary Jo White investigation, that goes nowhere. The notion that money was being moved around in a way that screwed the other owners, that is inconclusive, and they just don't go after Dan Snyder. If they go after this guy, it's going to be expensive. It's going to take time because he's going to dig in. He's already dug in. And I think some owners too, I think they like the fact that the Commanders are dysfunctional. Big Cat, you always say it. Dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. So, hey, what a shock. Jerry Jones wants Dan Snyder to be in place because he's more likely to kick the shit out of the Commanders twice a year if that's the case. And there are owners who like having bad owners in dysfunctional teams because it's easier to win games if you know there's a cluster of teams out there that are run by bad ownership. So,
yeah,
I like what Irsay's done. And I think the time has come for Dan Snyder to be gone.
Yep.
But it's not going to be as easy. And I think we all need to keep pushing and pushing and pushing the NFL to do the right thing.
It's my theory about the ownerships in all major sports, but the NFL in particular. There are a group of owners that don't have any desire. They have desire to win a Super Bowl, but they don't. They will never take the steps to actually win a Super Bowl. They're hoping they'll luck into one. And that you basically can take advantage of those teams every single year. So, speaking of my team, is Virginia McCaskey, when she passes away, she might live forever. I hope she does live forever. Will the Bears sell and move to Arlington Heights? Because I've always assumed that's a two-part thing where the Bears are going to move because some rich person is going to come and buy the team and the land because they want to own their own stadium. Is that going to happen, you think?
Here's one of the big realities, and it's happened from time to time. It happened with the Commanders when Jack Kent Cooke had to sell to Snyder. The franchise value rises to the point where when you throw it in with the rest of the estate and someone in the family inherits it, they got to come up with 40% of the total value of the estate to give the federal government. And as these values are going up and up and up, Broncos went for $4.65 billion. The Seahawks, I think, will go for $5 billion plus when they're sold, and I think they will be sold in May of 2024 at or about that time. And the values keep going up because of all the money that's coming in from gambling and the increased TV money, and it's just more and more and more. So the point is this. Unless the McCaskies have a very good plan in place to transfer equity when she passes, they may be in a position where they get a tax bill that the only way they can pay it is to sell the team. That's what happened to Jack Kent Cooke. It happened to Joe Robbie. It's happened to others. It may happen with the Raiders when Carol Davis passes. These are realities that these families have to deal with, and it takes very careful planning and a lot of money to make it work. So there's a chance that the Bears will be sold, and this whole move to a new stadium, just part of making the team more attractive, because if we're going to have to cash out, let's maximize what we can get for this franchise.
Yeah. All right, your team, they're not real. Right?
No, like, they're not. No, okay. I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you.
All right, because we deal with crazy Vikings fans all the time. Kirk Cousins stands. They look at box scores. They're a nice team. They're not.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
They'll lose in the divisional round. I'm on with Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, every Wednesday morning at 10 Eastern. And I've told him this all year. This is a team that's going to go 11-6, maybe 12-5, who knows? And they're going to win in the wild card round if they're lucky. And then they get the shit kicked out of them by the Eagles or the Cowboys or one of the elite teams in the NFC. Because Cousins is limited. If everything's perfect, Cousins can get it done. When things start to fall apart, he's done. When the running game isn't there, he's done. And the defense isn't nearly good enough to make up for an offense that isn't where it needs to be. And everybody thought, oh, Kevin O'Connell comes in now and is going to transform Kirk Cousins. He is who he is. He's been around for 10 years. So divisional round, they'll lose, and it'll continue as long as Kirk Cousins is their quarterback.
Yep, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Mike, I want to thank you. We've been busting your balls a little bit, but sincerely, thank you for being the voice of reason, or sometimes unreasonability, on football night in America, where you have to do your picks for the games, and you seem to be the guy that will not let everyone across the board take the same team.
True.
So thank you for that. That being said, you have a very difficult assignment this Sunday night because it's going to be the Bills and the Packers, and we want the Bills to kick the shit out of the Packers, but I'm pretty sure that everyone is going to pick the Bills. So I'm hereby humbly asking you,
yes,
to just bite the bullet for America and pick the Packers so it's not all Bills logos before the game.
Because you think if it's all Bills logos, the Packers win.
Is yes, no, that's no, we don't think, happen. We know.
Yeah. Well, I took the Steelers to beat the Dolphins this past week. I was the only one. Cowboys to beat the Eagles the week before. I was the only one. And you're right. I took the bullet and everybody else was made to look good. Fuck it. I'm not doing it this week with
come
the Packers.
On,
somebody else
Mike.
Would have to do it.
Mike, come
Mike,
on.
If Tony Dungy.
Mike, if the Packers win this game, I'm gonna curse your barn. I will. I will curse your barn. Do you want
and
that?
And you know, crazier things have happened. We've seen it. It happens every week.
Sounds like you want to pick them.
Maybe I do. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's talk him into it, though.
Tune in Sunday night.
Like Aaron Rodgers, this is do or die time for him. It's always around this time of year that the media buries Aaron Rodgers, and they say, oh, he's washed up. He doesn't have the weapons at receiver. He's mad at his coach. He's dysfunctional. He's a real asshole that nobody likes hanging out with. And then guess what happens?
A criminal.
He's a criminal. He goes on a little tear.
Yeah.
He goes on a little
Let
tear.
Let me tell you something, though.
Watch R-E-L-A-X, Mike.
Here's what I think is legitimate as it relates to the Packers. I think it's better for them to struggle and then get into the postseason as like a 6 or 7 seed. They won the Super Bowl in 2010 as the 6th seed. I think there's a very real psychological lift in being the team that nobody expects anything from. We got nothing to lose. Let's just go play. When they're the 1 seed, they seize up. They think too much. Aaron Rodgers is too careful. We put all this work in to be the 1 seed, and oh my God, it's slipping away in a 3-hour window at Lambeau Field. I really do think they're more dangerous if they get in by the skin of their teeth than if they rebound and win the division.
All right. Well, I don't want them to be more dangerous. So just pick them. Just pick them on Sunday night.
42-10. Bills win. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Bills are going to kick the shit. I want a close game for NBC purposes.
No.
I think the Bills are going to kick the shit out of them.
I want them to kill them. I want the Bills to just – I want it to be just the best – 3 hours of my life.
I want Josh Allen to throw for 600 yards. Yeah. How come no one set the all-time passing record in like 70 years? What's up with that?
Isn't that amazing? Norm Van Brocklin, 554 yards back in 1951 against the New York Yanks, and it was a blowout. It wasn't like a game where they had to keep scoring points. It was in an age where the game wasn't built for throwing, and it's lasted this long. Joe Burrow got 525 a couple of years ago. He had 481. There was a game 2020 Bucks Lions, a Saturday game, where they took Tom Brady out at halftime and he was on pace for like 700 yards. So I feel like it's going to happen one of these days. It really is ridiculous. It's been that long, and it goes back to Norm Van Brocklin in 1951.
It's crazy. Okay, so Mike, the game's about to start.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This has been a lot of fun catching up with you. We probably have waited too long. We're going to have you back on again this season. But we do our stardom, sit-em, sleeper every Friday. So we're going to do it right now.
Yourself.
Whether you want to do it with us or not.
We do actually do this.
Whether we want a real Italian on with us. So whether you want to do it with us or not. We're going to do it right now.
Why are Italians the only people that can still be made fun of?
Because,
why is that?
Because you're ridiculous.
How did we fall in this sweet spot?
The most persecuted class.
Where we still can be made fun of?
Yeah. Well, because you guys are funny people. And listen.
You know why? I actually, because Italians can take it.
Yeah. Mike.
No, bust balls back.
I'm an ally, Mike. Both my children are a quarter Italian, so I'm allowed to make all these jokes.
And I'm 1% Sicilian, I'll have you know.
Yeah. I'm allowed to do all this. We have our producer, Max. He's as Italian as it gets. He sweats grease.
Had to add one Italian to the crew. Happy to be here.
Yeah. See, that's Max. So his last name ends in a vowel. You're ready to go. Okay, Hank, you want to do your stardom?
Yeah, what's up? It's fucking Excobar Mario Cristobal.
Hey, what's up,
hey,
X?
What up? Hey.
My stardom's Matthew Perry.
Yeah, weirdo.
He said he wants fucking Keanu Reeves to die. He's all up in the news. He's everywhere this
week. What a jerk off.
My sit-em is Jamar Chase.
Yeah,
I sit. He's
well,
out.
Well, he can't sit. It's
4 to 6 weeks.
Tragically hip.
Bad hit.
What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, I have no comment.
And my sleeper, Stogies.
Stogies
with the boys. Stogies. Yeah, you gotta go in the backyard, go in the barn, fucking rip a couple Stogies.
Barn. Yeah, real Italian shit.
Yeah, real Italian.
Hey, what's up? This is Mikey Pauly.
Hey, Mikey Pauly. That's my name, too.
Yeah, Mikey Pauly.
Yeah, I'm Pauly Mikey.
You're Pauly. I'm Mikey Pauly.
Hey, what's up, Mikey? I got to promote something.
Hold on one second. You can do it in your startup.
You can toggle about your little side business.
Your little thing, your little that, your little this.
Hey, I get a cut. Don't forget my cut.
Hey.
Get a little tank.
Hey, you'll get a chance.
I'll send the fellas after you.
What's up, Mikey Pauly?
Hey, what's up, Mikey Pauly? I'm starting trains this weekend. I'm going to go sit on a train for a while. A little nice smooth train ride. Nothing like it.
Don't go to the store.
Yeah, train stores, bad stuff happens.
Drops to Jupiter.
Get greased. I'm sitting Antonio Gibson. I think he's kind of a bum. I think he's got the fumbleitis, and they're going to keep sitting him. It's going to be B. Rob. That's another guy. Brian Robinson, stay out of train stores too, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping. Meditation podcast. It's a real comfortable way to fall asleep at night.
Nice.
You listen to a little guy tell you a little story about a whale. Reads Moby Dick to you, and sooner or later, you are the one that's sleeping with the fish.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. All right, what's up, guys? It's Pauly Mikey.
Hey, Pauly Mikey.
It's Pauly Mikey. I'm starting Kenneth Walker. He's my guy. Seahawks, Big Ten, runs the football, knows how to get yards. Kenneth Walker, stardom. My sit-em, I'm sitting real doctors. Oh, my God, the Bucks. Oh, my God.
They just ran into each other.
Hey,
these two,
one guy's going one way, one guy's going the other. What do you want from me?
The Ravens like, hey, nevermore.
So my sit-em is doctors. Real doctors suck. Real doctors are actually 10x doctors.
Quacks.
Biologists, you know, that's the real life. And then my sleeper is anyone's bond that picks the Bills on Sunday night. Would be a real shame.
Real shame.
Real shame if that bond went up in smoke.
You got insurance policy on that thing?
Yeah.
Okay, and now Billy, go ahead.
Hey, yo,
I'm not falling for this bullshit.
Hey, no.
Hey,
can you let
me know?
You gotta
cares.
Fucking listen. Hey, it's Cenzo Allegro.
Hey,
and my stardom is you ever hear about this guy Sam Ellinger?
Yeah.
He's a guy.
I hear some top runner.
He's a guy. You hear around and you hear some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sit-em. Yo, you know Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
Yeah.
You know that he couldn't stand?
You sitting FDR, yeah. I think he took care of that one for you.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Allegedly.
You know, turns out couldn't stand. Heard from a guy.
You
know, I was around, heard from a guy.
Okay.
And in my sleeper, Katy Perry's eye.
Oh.
Not good.
No.
Sleepy eye.
Yeah.
Very winky.
Very sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little dodgy. You see something like that?
Mm-hmm.
A little sleepy.
Yeah.
Just got something to check out.
Yeah.
Just check it out. Not too hard, though. Just let it sleep.
All right, Mike, go ahead. I'm not doing it.
This is your elaborate, calculated bullshit.
We do this every Friday.
Yell at me, nobody gives a fuck.
No,
the moment I start doing it, that's what you're going to do.
Nope.
Mike, I have lived through this
for five
fucking years.
Have you ever listened to the show? We do this every Friday.
You don't listen to our Friday show. We do this every Friday.
I listen to your Friday show.
My show?
Yeah, we do this every Friday. All right, okay. So what's your thing you got to plug? Your stardom.
Okay. I'm not plugging anything.
Oh.
Start buying playmakers.
Yes.
Okay. Sit Patrick Mahomes. He's on a bye this week.
Okay.
How about that?
Nice. This is Mikey Florio.
He's on the cover. Along with Bill Belichick. Start Bill Belichick in the Coaches Fantasy League this week.
Okay.
Get playmakers. Special promotion on Tuesday. A special promotion if you buy it on Tuesday. You got to buy it on Tuesday. Special promotion Tuesday, the 21st anniversary of PFT. Not many people know about it, but the AWLs are clued in.
Yes.
A special promotion if you buy it on Tuesday. Show up Tuesday and buy
it. And if you don't buy it, we'll sleep you. We will literally murder you. Yeah. That's right. A fact. That's a guarantee.
It's
right, Mike? You as our lawyer, you say that we can murder people, right?
Sure, that's fine. That's
okay,
fine.
Perfect.
It's a long Italian tradition to pay people off on election day. I'm glad that you're keeping that up.
Like it, Mike. Yeah. Mike, thank you. We really do that every Friday. We thought
okay,
it would be
okay, but there's no way. There's no way. You saw my text. I had a high-level meeting in New York City.
Ooh.
Late August.
Ooh.
And it crossed my mind on the way to the meeting that this is some fucking thing Big Cat set up.
Yeah.
So there'll be a question about my fantasy team, and they're going to swoop in out of nowhere and say nobody gives a shit.
Well, to be honest with you, we were, I was thinking about different things to do, and then I was like, isn't the best way to get Florio this year is just to have him constantly thinking we're about to get him for all of August and then not get him?
It worked.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Done.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you as always. Everyone go buy Playmakers. Tune in to Mike. He's been doing it for 21 years. We love you.
Congratulations, Mike.
Sincerely, as much shit as we give you, we do love you. And always love that you have our back. We have your back. It's family, you know? It's our thing.
Hey, gabagool.
There it is. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Cheese's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Cheese.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Okay, weekend preview time. Week 8. It's not halfway. We're almost halfway, but we're not halfway. It is kind of crazy that we're already in week 8. We're already done with October after this week. We're not going to do the thing where we get scared about the season ending, but it's starting to trickle in my head. That's all I'm going to say.
It's not 16 games anymore, though.
I know.
That's
what I'm saying. We're not halfway.
We get the full another week.
We have 18 weeks, so next week is halfway.
And even if it was 16 games, we're not there yet because guess what? It's not Monday yet.
So
we still have this week of games.
The two things that always get me to be like, whoa, football's not going to last forever is when we change the clocks, which is this weekend, and when October ends. Because then it feels like October. I know that it makes no sense because we obviously play football all throughout January and February, but in my head, September, October, November, December. Those are the four quarters of the season.
Yeah, it is the start of scorebug update season. So we're going to see the jack-o'-lanterns on the scoreboards. We're going to see the leaves falling.
Monday night's the best color matchup ever for Halloween.
I wish it had been the Commanders in the black and the Bears in the orange.
Oh, that would have been
the spookiest matchup of all time.
I don't want to watch that game again.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was a very frightening game, not for children.
Yeah.
But next week we're going to start cornucopia season with the big the horn that's got the squash coming
it's
out
beautiful.
Of it.
It's
the
beautiful.
The apples, the leaves. This is football season.
It's football season. It is football season. We're in week 8. Jake, give us our standings and then we're going to talk about every game, some good games this week, some bad games. Go ahead.
We have a new leader. It's you.
Oh.
3-1.
Interesting how
Hank
Big Cat
goes
really wanted
4.
Jake to talk
I mean,
about
I ask him, yeah. I do the same thing every week.
You were very pumped up about
every
this
week.
One.
So we have had an 0-4 participant every week, which is kind of crazy.
That's
Hank
tough.
Takes the honor this week. So Big Cat at 14-14.
Nice.
You are in first
strong
place.
Leader.
That's awesome.
50%.
This is like the U.S. Open when the leader's +2.
Yeah. No, the course has been tough this year.
Yeah.
Tough course. Shout out to the course this year.
Yeah, really good.
Big Cat at 14 and 14. Hank one behind at 13 and 15. Max and Billy at 11 and 17. Me and PFT at 10 and 18. So the whole group, 4-game separation. Still anyone's game.
Still anyone's game.
It truly is. It truly is. There's a, listen, we're not even halfway done through the season right now. So it's pointless to say who's in first place and who's in last.
Should we talk real quick? We're going to go through all the games, but we should at least address before we go through these games the Russell Wilson going to England and doing calisthenics on the plane. Just an all-time. Every time I think Russell Wilson will have a revelation being like, hey, maybe I'm doing too much.
Mm-mm.
He's like, no, I'm going to do even more.
No. Well, that's the thing. Like he thinks that the way out of this hole that he's created for himself is to do everything that he has doing except harder.
Yeah.
So he's just leaning more and more into the Russell Wilson-ness of the idea of what he thinks that a QB1 should be doing to lead their team.
Yes.
And I don't think, like, he doesn't have buy-in from his teammates because you can do this kind of shit if you're winning and it's kind of like quirky. It's like, oh, that's Russell Wilson. He's a weirdo, but it's working. You can't argue with the results. But when you start to lose while you're doing all this weird shit, I remember RG3 in his rookie year, he started asking all the veterans, like, what's your why?
Yeah.
Know your why.
Yeah.
Why do you play football? And they started to win. Everybody was like, this rookie is precocious, but he's getting the job done. Then once things start to fall apart, it's like, I fucking hate this guy. He's annoying as shit.
And the why is we're getting paid.
Yeah.
We want money. Yes. Everyone wants the money. And Russell Wilson has his money, so he probably annoys the fuck out of everyone even more, knowing that they're still trying to get their money. He has his money. The report, if you missed it, was that Russell Wilson, on an 8-hour flight from Denver to London, did high knees and stretching for 4 hours while the rest of the team slept. So initially, I was like, well, that's weird, because if everyone was sleeping, who told the reporters? Then I saw that Russell Wilson was the one who obviously told the reporters. And the quote was actually worse, because what he said to the reporters was, for the first 2 hours I watched film, then when everyone slept, so he's basically throwing his whole team under the bus, I did high knees and kept stretching. Then the last 2 hours, he started to say that he took a nap, and then he's like, well, I slept for an hour and then I watched more film. So basically, in an 8-hour flight, he's only copping to 1 hour of sleep, and the rest of it, he was working his ass off and stretching and doing everything to make sure that he's ready. And again, I like the actual act of keeping loose and making sure his hamstring's ready for the game, that's fine. It's telling everyone that's what you did. That is so ridiculous.
I think 4 hours of high knees is just simply too many hours.
I think
maybe 4 minutes of high knees is the most that anyone should ever do. After that, you're just showing off.
Yeah.
He's probably doing the thing where he was doing the, like, this is the first football pass. He was like, these are the highest knees of all time that I'm able to do because I'm on an airplane.
And it's,
I'm really getting it. If I was that pilot, I would have, and I saw somebody doing high knees for 4 hours, no disrespect, I would have caught the German wings flu.
Yes.
And I would have been like, okay, we're going down.
Yeah, we're going down right now. His body must be like just begging him for a break too. It's like the inverse of my body, where every now and then my body will tell me like, hey, maybe today you should like try to lift a weight or get your heart rate up for a second. Just let's feel good for a second. His body's like, hey, Russ, maybe let's just sit on the couch and eat a potato chip once.
Yeah.
Instead of every fucking waking hour making me do something that I don't want to do. That's what his body's screaming for help.
I can almost guarantee you that Russ Wilson, in the course of the next 2 years, will enter in with a partnership with a mattress company that eliminates the big weakness in sleep. There's an inefficiency in sleeping, Big Cat. You can't work out while you're asleep.
Yes.
He'll figure out some way to make sleeping a workout.
Yes.
And then he'll be like, it's me, Russell Wilson. Even when I'm sleeping, I'm still grinding.
Yes.
Get your hands on the Russ mattress.
That I could absolutely see that happening. He is quite something. Okay, so let's do our picks. We'll talk about every game, but we had to address that. We'll start with our favorites.
What about the Robert Quinn trade?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had it under the Bears-Cowboys if we discuss that game.
I will discuss that game.
Okay, so you're taking the Cowboys?
Taking the Bears.
Oh, well, okay. No, you're doing favorites first.
Okay.
Yeah, favorites first. But the Robert Quinn trade, I still don't think people I put myself in this camp. I don't understand how the cap works. I don't understand trade value in the NFL because everyone always, like, whenever someone gets traded, they're like, that's all you got? The Bears are not a contender right now. They have to rebuild. They have to get as many picks as possible.
They're beating up on shitty teams, but that doesn't mean that they're a good team.
Right, Don't delude ourselves. Robert Quinn is 32 years old, had an incredible year last year, has been okay this year. The last couple weeks has been better. There's no reason, if you are Ryan Poles, if this is a tear it down and build it back up, a 32-year-old defensive lineman is not part of the future. Get as many picks as you can. Do it right now. I think it's actually great for the Eagles as well, because now they have depth at the pass rusher position, which is would be the one thing you could say, like, oh, their defense is great against the run, all these things. They probably need to get the quarterback more. I love the trade. And I everyone will just shit on, like, all you got is a fourth. I actually think that's pretty good value. It's like the Khalil Mack trade. Like, when guys get older, you don't get a lot for them. You just don't, because draft picks are very, very
important. How many years did he have again?
I don't know when he can get cut. I know they save some money on the cap, future cap. But it's a smart trade, because you need as many picks as you can. And I posed a question to Twitter yesterday, because there was one person who was like, the Bears should have traded Roquan for two firsts. And I was like, first of all, Roquan I don't think gets one first, because he's an off-ball linebacker, which is not a premier position. But the amount of guys in the NFL that would get two firsts that are non-quarterbacks, the list is probably 10 to 15.
Aaron Donald.
I don't even know, because he almost retires every year.
That's true.
Yeah, like it's
Aaron Donald much, 3 years ago.
Right, it's pretty much guys who are on their first contract and control, like it's Micah Parsons.
Maybe some coaches, maybe Sean McVay.
Yeah, maybe Sean
McVay. Well, he also almost retires too.
TJ Watt, people were throwing out Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, those are good answers. It's
Sam Bradford.
It's a very small list of guys. Non-QB.
I know,
non-QB.
But I think Sam Bradford, didn't he get traded for like multiple first round picks over the course of his career?
He did. So it's but the list. Like, and then people are like, well, what about Jamal Adams? Jamal Adams was an atrocious trade at the time. Joe Douglas fleeced the Seahawks, and we all thought that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm cool with the trade. I wish the timing was different. That's all I'll say. Because you saw Roquan Smith kind of get teary-eyed in the press conference. The Bears just have their biggest win in a long time. And then you trade Robert Quinn. That has to hurt the locker room a little, to be like, yeah, we're not actually competing for anything this year.
You're probably selling at the highest point, though.
Yeah.
It's like, when are you going to get another prime time win?
Well, it's right before the trade deadline, too. Yeah. So, but that was my only critique of it. All right. So, let's do the picks. Favorite.
Green Bay Packers. I mean, Buffalo Bills playing the Green Bay Packers. They're okay. -10.5. I'm confused with the favorites and underdog thing here.
Yeah.
It does feel like a shit pumping waiting to happen.
I'm so excited. It feels for this game.
I'm just Eric, going. I'm going chalk for my favorite and chalk for my underdog. Just the biggest of both worlds.
It feels like everything is about to implode for the Green Bay Packers. Like, this feels like the second before it all comes crumbling.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is saying his teammates like aren't trying, or there's 20% of plays where they're just lapsing judgment.
Yep.
Or lapsing like paying attention. So that can't help.
This game, it has a personal spot in my heart. Because this is actually how I became an honorary member of Bills Mafia. 2014, the Bears were terrible. I think it was the second year of Trestman. The Packers were very good. They went to Buffalo. It was Kyle Orton. The Bills beat the Packers in week 15, essentially stopped them from getting the one seed. So then they had to go play that NFC Championship game in Seattle. And I went back and I looked at my tweets. That was the day that I was like, is being a Bills fan always this fun? They were a shitty team then. And I was tweeting Bills Mafia. So
that was a perpetually shitty era for them.
Yes. And I remember I went and looked at my tweets and I was like, I'm part of Bills Mafia today, because this is going to be the best moment of the Bears 2014 season, is the Packers losing the one seed to a bad Buffalo team. And so I love this game. I love what the Bills did for me that year. And I'll forever love the Bills for that. And also, this is the first time that Aaron Rodgers in 234 regular season and postseason starts is a double-digit underdog. That's crazy. Longest streak ever for a quarterback to start their career as an to never be a double-digit underdog.
That is crazy.
So you're taking the Bills.
I will be taking the Bills. They're not my pick, but I will be taking the Bills.
Well, it feels like
well, yeah,
this is the moment where it does.
Seems like
everything's
it's not.
Adding up to it. Like, even LaFleur is saying, like, yeah, I deserve all this criticism. I've sucked myself.
Yeah.
So he's even admitting that there's some problems going into it. They don't really have that many weapons on offense. They should run the ball a lot more than they do, but they don't.
Aaron Jones should be featured more.
They're just not going to. You should give the ball to A.J. Dillon. You should give the ball to Aaron Jones. Is Dillon hurt?
I don't think so.
So they should just run the fucking ball more, because they don't have the weapons on there. Even if even if they wanted to pass the ball more, I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to throw the ball to those bums on the outside. I think he thinks they're bums.
Yeah.
And also the Bills riding high off the momentum of releasing the new pictures of their stadium.
Yep.
Which looks awesome. There's no dome on it. Josh Allen is an outdoor cat.
Look very cool.
I'm sorry, Kurt Warner. He's going to be playing outdoors for the rest of his career.
I love it.
The giant buffalo outside the stadium were awesome.
Yep.
They've got three giant fucking brass buffalo with balls hanging off their legs. Just right. They need to be bigger, though. I want the Buffalo outside the same to be bigger than the actual stadium itself.
I agree. It should be like something that NASA can see from space.
Yes.
They're like, look at that. You see the Great Wall of China? How about the Buffalo in Buffalo?
Yeah, I want it to turn into like a tourist attraction. People go up to Buffalo to see the giant fucking buffalo.
Yep.
Probably Bills Mafia climbs it after big victories. There'll definitely be somebody that tries to jump off that buffalo into a table.
They're going to have to rope it off.
Yeah.
They're going to have to put a big gate around it.
Or just a lifeguard. Have Pinto Ron on a lifeguard stand.
Sitting on the buffalo.
Sitting on the buffalo, and he just squirts ketchup at you if you try to climb up it.
Yes. Josh Allen also 10-3 against the spread in primetime. Pretty good. I'm going to love this game. This game is going to be erotic for me. I want them to absolutely punish the Packers. Okay, that's your favorite. Max, your favorite?
Falcons -4.5 against the Panthers. I think the Panthers stink. I think the Falcons are good. And I think that line is low, which scares me, but love this is, the Falcons.
It's the first time that the Falcons are favorites this year, I believe.
Yes. When we get to our underdogs, I'm against you on this. I'm now buying what I was reading up about the Panthers. I guess I can just talk about it right now.
The way of the Panther?
I didn't realize that Steve Wilks is from Charlotte. That's a big miss on my
part. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, interim head coach from Charlotte. Guys afterwards, David Tepper gave him a game ball after the win against the Bucks. They're all talking, like the locker room is talking about how he got screwed in Arizona and they want him to have the job and they're playing for him. And they're like, he means a lot to this franchise, to this city. It's also crazy to say, this is a nuts thing, but just follow me here. David Tepper was on the Carolina staff when they won the NFC South at 7-8-1 that year in 2014. Remember Ron Rivera talked about it in his press conference after he got fired, which was very bizarre. If the Panthers beat the Falcons and the Raiders beat the Saints and we'll already know if the Bucs won or not, say they lost, the Panthers would be in first place, which is insane.
That is crazy.
That's insane to think about, that they could be in first place in the NFC South on Sunday night.
That is, it's nuts. But
that's stupid. But that's stupid. That means, though, the only reason I'm saying that is because when I saw these quotes being like, we're playing for him, we're dying for him, we want him to get the job, I was like, what do they care? They're out of it. And then I was like, wait, are they out of it? And they are out of it, but they're also technically not.
They're not mathematically out
of it. Right.
But they're out of it.
But you can
they're
delude
selling
yourself.
All the good players.
Right, you can delude yourself and being like, we're not out of it because mathematically we could be in first place on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Don't forget, though, that the Falcons had an extra half of practice to get ready for this Panthers game in the second half of the game against the Bengals last week, where they just decided we're not going to pass the ball. We're going to just implement. We're going to do our first half script against the Packers or against the Panthers in the second half of our game against the Bengals, where they threw 13 total passes.
Yes.
After losing by 18 points, while losing by 18 points. The Arthur Smith Coach of the Year buzz is picking up steam.
It is. I think it's going to be tough to beat Brian Daboll.
It's going to be very tough to beat Brian Daboll. However, you never know.
Yeah, I'm down to get it going. Yeah.
I think he should be in the discussion.
Absolutely. He's in the discussion right now.
Do they have finalists for it? Do they get like a bunch of coaches together, or do they just say,
well, hey, we have a vote.
Oh, that's
right.
So let's
just give our vote to Arthur Smith right now.
I think we should split it.
Okay.
Arthur Smith and Daboll.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. So in the discussion.
So we're going to, one way we're going to win this. So, but yeah, Panthers are going to be my underdog.
Yeah, I hate it.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. Weird thing. It's fine. I hate it.
The Charlotte part, I'm so mad at myself because I consider myself a little bit of a guru on interim coaches come in, and I just somehow missed that part.
Well, it's because we were so excited about the possibility of getting Ben McAdoo as the head coach that we completely overlooked Steve Wilks.
I know. And now these guys are believing and getting a game ball from the owner.
Are they pounding the drum? Are they bringing back the keep pounding?
I don't know. I'm starting to believe in this Panthers team to not be terrible.
I want to
clarify. I do not think they're good. I do not think they're going to go to the playoffs. I do not think they're going to win more than like six or seven games. maybe four more games, but not being
that's a lot.
Yeah, not that's being the worst team and being like just a little bit better than the worst team is a big difference.
I like PJ Walker.
Yeah.
He's fun.
He is fun.
PJ Walker and Heinicke leading the XFL resurgence.
Yes. All right, your favorite PFT.
My favorite going into this weekend. I wanna be a basic bitch, but I'm not going to. I'm gonna take the Pats.
Okay.
I'm taking the Patriots. So Belichick is something like 34-15 against the spread after losing as a favorite.
He's also 35-11 straight up against the Jets in his career.
Yeah, and I don't think he's lost against the Jets since 2015.
I think it's 6 years. It's Jesus 12 straight. Christ,
that's
it's
a 12 lot. Straight. Okay, so it 12 might
be,
straight.
I can never do years.
All the hot take shows out there are going to be talking incessantly about like Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi,
The Wire.
Which one are we going to
do? No one's talking about The Wire.
I've seen a lot of people talking about it.
What do you mean The Wire, Hank?
The Wire that Mac
ESPN's
Jones
Monday Night Football cam, The Wire for it, the Sky cam, Mac Jones' ball hit it. Technically by NFL rules, if a ball hits a unconstructed like non part of the game, then the play is called dead. The ball was clearly going out of bounds. He was throwing it away. It hit the wire, came back in bounds, and was intercepted.
Okay.
Then Bailey Zappi got put in.
So not to go all Alex Jones on you, but it just
I saw it with my own
it
eyes.
Just so happened that Barack Obama was on the Manning cast at the exact time that his beloved Bears got a drone interference penalty against the Patriots. I'm just looking at the documents. It's adding up a little bit. But, Hank, what I'm saying is, like, you'll hear, you probably want me to talk about Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. That's what you see on TV. You see all the lame talk shows are just trying to get clicks and talk about a quarterback controversy. I want to talk about the Patriots defense because the Patriots defense, I think, is going to befuddle
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson's going to be befuddled this weekend.
And
he's going to be so confused. Belichick knows how to fuck with befuddled quarterbacks. And Zach Wilson, I think, is one of the more befuddleable quarterbacks in the NFL.
They made Darnold see ghosts.
Yeah. Yep. And obviously, Breece Hall injury hurts. Their offensive tackle also out for the year. Kind of sucks for the Jets. They've had some injury bug. They traded for James Robinson. How are we feeling about James Robinson?
Good. I mean, the Jets run
that's
blocking
actually,
scheme.
That's a perfect answer. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the Jets he's run
blocking
scheme.
I mean,
Michael Carter is good.
Yeah, Michael Carter is good. James Robinson is okay.
He's good.
But in Michael Carter, I think he's going to get more reps, and he's also, I think, been overshadowed by Breece Hall.
Okay.
So him getting more reps, I think we're going to see him explode.
I think your offensive line injuries are low-key more important than the Breece Hall injury.
Yeah.
No joke, I think I might have a Cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
I do really want to go.
Okay, then go.
I actually got tickets already.
We gotta work.
We're going.
No, you and Billy should go.
Yeah, no, I actually have the tickets already. We should go.
Hank, you should go.
I would.
Hank, we're going.
I gotta work.
Yeah, no, I'll wake you up on Sunday. We'll go.
He's gotta work.
Are you scared that you're gonna lose? You're wearing green right now.
Oh,
I am wearing
He's
green.
He's got you on that one.
I'm team black though. I am wearing green right now. Fucking Amon.
I think if you really like your Pats, you should go.
Billy, I really like the Pats. I just like I'm a workhorse. I don't know what you want me to say. I just gotta. There's a lot of games to gamble on.
Content.
Yeah. We work.
Workhorse.
We work. He's a workhorse.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you have the Patriots.
Yeah, I got.
I don't care.
Yeah, I got the Patriots -2.5.
Okay.
Billy should go.
I am going to.
Jake, you should go in my stead.
It's a big game,
Absolutely
Billy. It's
not.
A big game. You gotta. This is like all the good vibes on the Jets season, kind of. Is a make or break in the next 3 weeks.
I know.
I have no problem with Billy. I went to like 3 or 4 past Jets games, and they are all disappointing when we first moved here. Like, I have no interest in going to the Meadowlands.
Because you beat them so bad? Or
if it was a night game.
This maybe. Might be a little more exciting.
Monday night game.
I think Hank's scared.
You're scared.
He's a workhorse.
I'm getting scared by
I am a workhorse, and, you know, corporate life never sleeps, but I love watching all the other games. Like, I don't like being at one game on Sunday knowing there's other games going on and then having to work after. If it was a normal Sunday where we could just go to the game, get shit-faced and go, and then go home and go to sleep, different story.
Yeah.
But, like, going to the game, missing all the other games, and then having to come to work for the rest of the night.
Brutal.
But you're not scared.
Not scared.
Not scared.
Okay. Okay. My favorite, I'm going to take the 49ers minus 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that was where you're going to be if you were basic.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But also, at some point, I feel like every time this happens, it's like if you really enjoy a band and then they get mainstream and everybody, like, they're on the radio, everyone's talking about it. It's like we've known for a while that Shanahan owns McVay.
Yeah.
And now everyone's talking about it. It's like if you like Shanahan so much, name three of his old running backs.
But it's – I just can't – like – he's 8-4 against McVay overall, straight up. And then, so one of the losses was the NFC Championship game that the Niners, if they don't drop the easiest interception ever, win that game, they still covered. And then the other three losses, C.J. Beathard, Nick Mullen, and Brian Hoyer, 2017 and 18, when the Niners were horrendous and the Rams were Super Bowl. They went to the Super Bowl in 18. So it's not only that he like really owns them.
Yeah.
And I just... I'm going to go back to the well. I'm just going to keep doing it. I keep betting the Niners. I bet them the last few times they played the Rams. I'm going to keep doing it until something changes or something looks different for Sean McVay and the Rams against the Niners.
I'm going to take the Niners, too. I think that's a good bet because they also – the Rams are missing some offensive linemen.
Yep. Bosa's coming back.
Bosa's coming back. I think Bosa's going to feast.
Bosa's coming back. And what we saw in the NFC Championship game, this is a home game for the Niners.
Yeah.
There's like it's going to be like 60-70% Niners fans.
Yeah. I also like McCaffrey. Like if he has 2 days to learn the playbook, imagine what he's going to know on 9 days.
Couple special packages.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's my favorite. Billy, your favorite.
This is a big weekend for me. Chad Kelly's getting his first professional football start. Sam Ehlinger is also getting his first professional football start. So all my picks are going to reflect all my takes.
You're playing against the Pats. There's a lot.
You got a lot.
Your reputation's on the line this week.
I know. So we're going Colts -3 over the Commanders.
So you're making,
that's my favorite.
You're making it worse now.
Yes.
You're even like doubling down on your...
It's either... We're either going to be crashing and burning or celebrating.
I like that. Just go all... Yeah, put all your chips in the middle.
Yeah.
And just hope it works out.
On Sunday night, I might be in shambles.
Yeah.
So I'm very prepared for that. Sam Ehlinger, I think he's a mobile quarterback, enough to light up an offense. We see these mobile quarterbacks getting first downs, extending drives. I think the Colts are going to have the fire in their belly. Yeah. And also, as we heard, the Commanders had a party on Monday night.
Halloween party.
So I don't think that's good in a game week.
Dreaded six-day hangover.
Yeah. I mean, alcohol has effects for like 2 weeks after you drink it.
That's true.
According to certain football coaches.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. Like, I can still hear it in your voice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
From Saturday.
Yeah. How was your Saturday?
It was great.
Yeah.
He got Chris Long drunk.
Oh, yeah. At the Yankee game.
No, actually, Chris Long got him drunk.
Yes.
That was a fib that Billy told.
Yes.
No, Chris Long claims that because I went home early, it means that...
No, he got you drunk. He paid for your drinks.
He did pay for my drinks.
Then
he paid for my drinks.
And then you left because you were so drunk.
No,
because
I had to wake up and... do part of my
so
take.
So Chris Long got you drunk, though.
Yeah.
For
you wake up and do part of my take right away.
at 11
well,
o'clock
you have to watch
the
all
night.
The football.
All the football. So you're agreeing with Hank.
What time?
He can't go to the game because he's got to watch all the football.
I had to, like, imagine if I didn't watch all the football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You weren't here during the day.
Yeah, you were here. I think you got here at, like, 5 o'clock that night. So you didn't
still have to wake up and watch all the football.
Yeah, he was watching football.
He was watching all
the football.
He was working
from home.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys don't play the jet game.
That is what Billy said. He said he can prep for the show better if he watches from home.
The jet game was in the afternoon.
Right. That's why I watched it at home.
No. It was on here. It was, you actually came, you traveled in during the Jets game.
At halftime.
Okay. This is unraveling for you.
But Billy, I can't even be mad at you for taking the Colts in this.
Yeah.
The Colts are my second team. They're my AFC team, pending Mr. Irsay's deposition of Dan Snyder. So I don't hate. I don't know who to root for. I mean, in a way, it's like, yeah, obviously I want the Commanders to win. Obviously I'm rooting for Taylor Heinicke. I really like him. I want the team to do well. But I can also reach that point where if the Colts end up beating the Commanders – I can spin myself into being like, this season's all about next year anyways.
Yes.
But it's going to be interesting to watch Ehlinger out there because we don't know what we're going to get. I feel like it's been so long since we've seen him in a game that I have no idea what he's going to look like against an NFL defense.
Yeah.
He's been working with the starters all week. So yeah.
There we go.
See what happens.
Okay, Jake, your favorite.
Are we betting a hot sauce sub bet, Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crashing and burning. I
doused.
Like it. Okay.
Doused.
Not a moderate dousage. Medium dousage.
I mean, yeah, you had it.
I doused it.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad, right?
Medium douse.
Medium douse. Okay. Jake.
I am taking my Miami Dolphins -3.5 at the Detroit Lions. Ooh. The Dolphins have yet to lose a football game with a healthy quarterback.
Ooh.
And the Lions, they are bad.
They are bad.
Skylar Thompson was healthy.
That's true.
A healthy starting quarterback.
Yeah. Or a backup quarterback, a first backup quarterback.
Yeah.
So we had two vote of confidences this week from owners. One was Nathaniel Hackett, and then the other was Dan Campbell. So the Lions, I think she's a president, Sheila Hamp, whatever, Martha Ford's daughter, came out, did a press conference. My favorite quote from the whole press conference, she's talking about the rebuild, how painful it is. She said, nobody hates losing more than I do, than my family does, but we've got to get through it. I think they like losing. Like, they lose a lot.
It's impossible for her to say that nobody hates losing more than me.
Right.
Because if that were true, she would be hanging from a rope somewhere.
Right. Like, that's to say you hate losing as the owner of the Lions. I'm going to push back on that. I think you almost get off on it.
You might be in the wrong line of business.
Yeah, right. It's the one job where you just lose all the time.
Yeah, it's like if you work for Barstool and you're like, I hate going to football games.
Right.
It's like, well, it's kind of...
That's our thing.
Wait, yeah, kind of our thing that we
I hate tits and ass.
Yeah.
Not me.
I love them. I hate not knowing whose ass that is. Does anybody know what company I can work for?
All right. It was a crazy sentence for her to say, but yeah, she did come out. And the impromptu press conference midweek to say we believe in Dan Campbell is always a bad sign.
This is a I kind of like the Dome Dogs though. I
do too.
I like the Lions at home.
I do too.
3.5. If it was 3, I'd be thinking a little bit differently. But three and a half.
I like the Lions in this game.
The Dome Dogs are gonna be barking. I also just think it's like, what is this world coming to if Mike McDaniel beats Dan Campbell in football?
Yeah.
You know?
It is. It's revenge of the nerds.
Yeah, it's a major, like, it's battle of the heads. It's pot versus meat.
Yeah.
Which one you got?
Yeah.
I'm going meathead.
I also just, like, the Lions-Cowboys game last week, we watched that whole game. I know that the final score says 24-6, but the Lions were in that game.
Until, and they played like, 3 minutes.
Yeah. Like, if Micah Parsons isn't just a total freak and doesn't make that tackle at the goal line, the Lions could have won that game.
Yeah. So, also, they fumbled at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, right after Micah Parsons.
They were down 10-6 with 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah. So I think the Lions. I don't know. I'm feeling the Lions this weekend.
I like Aiden Hutchinson, but it seems like the Lions don't know how to use him correctly.
Yeah.
Because I read a stat the other day that said that when he was standing up, when he was in a 2-point, when he was at Michigan, his effectiveness was like, he was twice as effective, basically, at getting to the quarterback. This year, he's still twice as effective at getting to the quarterback when he's standing up, but they have him in a 3-point stance like 95% of the time.
Right.
Which is not good for him and not good for his strength.
Get him standing up.
Get him standing up and just let him pin his ears back.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Go get the quarterback.
Tell Aiden, like, pin your ears. We're going to let you pin your ears back this weekend. Heat up the quarterback.
Get the quarterback.
Dial something up.
Yeah. I agree. All right, Hank, your underdog.
Dub Bears.
Yeah?
Hottest team in the NFL.
You're just doing this to fuck with me.
9.5 against the Cowboys.
I don't think Hank would do that.
All right, okay.
Hank calls him straight.
All right. That's fine. I don't feel very great about this game. The Robert Quinn trade, short week. I'll see if the Bears can put together two games in a row.
I mean, I was thinking about putting them in the Hungry Dog. Again, I would never do that to fuck with you. You put the Bucks in the Can't Lose to fuck with Steven. But I mean,
they couldn't lose against the Panthers.
It
was before I knew that Steve Wilkes was from Charlotte. If I had known that, I wouldn't have put him in there. I've told you my blind spot here.
I'm going to have to rethink that. I thought you were going to be like, fuck yeah, let's ride.
I'm very, Bear no, season. No, if you had asked me on Tuesday when I picked up Justin Fields' fifth-year option, I would have been like, yeah, they're going to win by 100. Now that we're back to reality and I'm back to like, hey, this team might not be that good, but I just want to see Justin Fields do well, we'll see.
The Justin Fields that played Monday night, greater than Dak.
Agreed.
Why not again?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to bet the Bears 9.5. Okay.
That's a lot of points.
These guys
are paid to play football too, you know?
Yeah, that's where I went 0-4. I'm just going back to the well, and it's just like biggest. I guess I would have to take the Steelers in this, but
also
I'm going big.
Justin Fields big on spreads. On turf, the Vikings game and then the Monday night game against the Patriots. So those are his two best games this year. He's looked very, very fast. Last I checked, Dallas is in a dome on turf.
Mm.
He's going to look fast again. Okay, I'm in. Max, your underdog.
You just talked about it. Love the Lions. Yeah. Love the okay. Lions at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Good pick.
Yeah. Good, great pick.
Great pick, Max. Right. No ball.
You do no ball. All right, PFT.
I love this underdog so much, in fact, that I might be betting on him straight up. Texans.
Ooh.
+2 at home. I think we're going to get
2.5 against the Titans. Yep.
This is a big game, by the way. For if it closes at 2.5, this will be the shortest spread that Davis Mills will ever have as a quarterback.
That's been wild.
This is his 18th start. He's been an underdog all 18, all over 3.5 points.
But we're getting closer.
Yeah, we're getting, closer. We're inching closer, baby.
And this might be Malik Willis because Tannehill had the walking boot on after the last game.
That's
we
true.
Don't know who it's going to be. I thought it was 2, so I came up with just I was just going to say that. What is Lovie Smith famous for as a defensive guy?
Mm.
Cover 2.
Cover 2. Yeah.
We're going to cover 2 this week.
Yes. Yes.
It seems easy. It seems like it was written in the stars.
Okay.
This is random, but Titans-Texans should always be a 1 o'clock game. It looks weird at 4:05.
Yeah, it does.
That's
it
a
does.
1 o'clock game for life.
Commanders-Colts looks weird at 4:25, too.
Yeah, it's just a weird. It's a weird matchup. Like, yeah. I can't remember the last time the football team or the Redskins played the Colts. Like,
yeah.
There's certain teams that you feel like play each other more than twice a year. Mm-hmm. I would say the Titans-Texans is up there.
Yeah.
For sure. I feel like they play each other like 3 or 4 times
a year. And then there's
teams
that just never play each other. Like, the Dolphins have never played the Seahawks as far as I'm concerned.
No. Or I would say even like the Panthers playing against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened.
That's literally never happened
no,
in
ever.
NFL history. No, that's true. That's a fact. Okay. My underdog, we already talked about it. Steve Wilkes, I'm riding, +4.5. I don't know. That whole Charlotte thing really, really got me going. When it's listening to reading those quotes from the guys being like, we're winning one for Steve Wilkes. I'm in. I'm in on the Panthers. Bang that drum. Okay, your underdog, Billy.
Going to Jets, 2.5.
Have to, yeah.
So, just, it's all or nothing.
Yeah,
just
I like
putting
this.
It out
yeah.
there.
I like this, Billy.
Balls on the table.
Yep.
They're either getting fight clubbed or we're walking out of there.
I like
curb stomped.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Jake, your underdog.
I'm going with a new game. I'm going with the Giants +3 at the Seahawks. Last week, we all went against the Giants because
yep.
we thought it was a rat line. We were wrong, so I'm not going to go against them again. Obviously, cross country road trip, but
mm-hmm.
Giants are hot.
But we were right.
This
though.
Is a rat line, too, though.
Yeah. We were right last week.
Which I guess.
About it being a rat line. And we're saying it makes no sense. So in a way, we nailed it last week.
I just here's what I would say to you, Jake. If anyone pushes back, you'd be like, I'm gonna keep betting the Giants till they don't cover the spread.
Right.
They're 6-1 against the spread. They keep winning these games. Also, for a little nugget for anyone who's trying to maybe bet this game a different way, Seattle is 6-1 against the spread in the first half. The Giants are 6-1 against the spread in the second half.
Interesting.
So you can do a little double dip there.
I feel
if you
like.
Wanted to.
I feel like Daboll is a very good in-game coach, and Pete Carroll I don't think is a very good in-game coach.
Yeah.
I think Pete Carroll, he has got a lot of strengths, but in terms of adjustments and being strategic with things like challenges, timeouts, stuff like that, he's not even in my top 10 of
yeah.
coaches I would want.
Yeah.
And
Daboll's coached 7 games. Let's
yeah,
not,
but he's been good.
Let's not get crazy here.
Can we be happy for him?
I am happy for
he's
him.
Been,
but
he's been really good. Yes.
I like. I mean, he's a. I love him. I love great dude. I'm just saying, like, Pete Carroll's coached 100,000 games. Dable's coached 7, and you're talking about them like.
Did you see the guy though that they brought onto the active roster, Candace, this week?
You know what? I'm sorry. I apologize.
I didn't see that. Who's that?
Hank, did you see that?
Is that the guy Kanye listens to?
Yeah.
No.
Candace. You didn't see that.
Candace Owens.
it was a Candy's Nuts. Yeah.
I got that.
Oh, you got it? Did you?
That's
Brian Daboll's favorite. Yeah.
I do think that it's fair for us to say that Brian Daboll, based on what we've seen, he's been great.
Yeah, he has.
Now, Pete Carroll, Hank, you of all people, you should know Pete Carroll doesn't always make the right decision at the end of games. Right? Can I put that in terms you understand?
What are you talking about?
Sometime, are you playing dumb again?
At the end of a Super Bowl,
Pete Carroll decided to pass the ball instead of run the ball. That's my entire point. Like, Pete Carroll's a great coach. at a lot of things, but I don't think that he's better than Brian Daboll at in-game adjustments and at, like, crunch time decision makings and strategy.
Yes.
I just don't so far.
I agree, and I apologize for disputing your take.
Whether you're tossing the ball around with buddies or picking off passes like a pro, Optimum Nutrition can help unlock more you. Tackle your recovery with Gold Standard 100% Whey, which has 24 grams of high-quality protein per serving and more than 15 delicious, easy-to-mix flavors. Put the world's number one to the test. Available at stores nationwide and online at OptimumNutrition.com. Euromonitor International Limited, Consumer Health 2023 Edition and Custom Research conducted February to March 2023. Retail sales of whey protein powder in 2022.
Okay, overs. Hank, overs got to come back eventually.
Yep, start with the lover.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, how could you?
Oh my God.
Jake got so disappointed. I agree with Jake on this. This is messed. You know that we're all going to take the under in this game.
Not me.
The lover?
Taking the lover.
The Irish lover?
39.5. Wow. Jaguars, Broncos.
Wow.
The London Jaguars?
Wow. This is going to be a gross game. Gross game. Okay.
I don't think so. I think.
You think Russell Wilson, this is the week he puts it all together?
It's going to be, yeah.
His hamstring's very loose.
Yeah, that's
true. And, again, preseason, everyone loved the Broncos. 2 weeks ago, you guys were loving the Jaguars, saying they're one of the most fun teams, explosive teams, teams with a lot of potential. I think it's going to be a shootout.
Okay. I think I ever said explosive.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Holding our takes said, against yeah, us the now. Explosive I like this. Jaguars. I like this. Okay, you're over, Max.
Just talked about Giants Seahawks over 44.5. I think both these teams are good. I think this is actually going to be a great game. So, over.
I like it. PFT?
My over is going to be Steelers Eagles.
Oh!
Over 43. I think the Birds are going to get 30.
Yeah.
And then I need two. I just need two out of the Steelers. I know that, like, a lot of people talk about Mike Tomlin as an underdog. There's a reason why Mike Tomlin's been so good as an underdog is because in the past, it hasn't happened that often, and he had pretty good teams.
Right.
And so this isn't as good of a team that he's had. So I'm not going to touch the Steelers, even though it's a big spread, but I do like over 43. And here's a fun little story, a quirky little story about the Steelers and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Did you know that the Steelers and the Eagles were at one time the same team?
Yeah. They were the Steagles
yep. back in World War II. So they were combined because the Eagles lost a lot of players to go overseas and fight in World War II. The president at the time, FDR, said that he wanted Major League Baseball teams to stick together and give fans something to cheer about, but he didn't give that same directive to the NFL. So the NFL lost a lot of players. They combined forces. They played like 6 out of 8 games in Philadelphia. They played 2 in Pittsburgh. They went 5-3-1, I believe, on the season, and that was the Philadelphia Eagles' very first winning season.
Wow.
Was when they were the Steagles.
So shout out to Steagles. I went on Pittsburgh radio this morning because we do it every other week, me and PFT and our guys, Randy and Bill Crawford. They told me that Nick Sirianni did his entire press conference talking about how he grew up a Pittsburgh fan, how he loved the Steelers, and they're worried that he's basically so not concerned with the Steelers that he spent the entire time talking about how much he loves them.
Interesting.
Yeah. And also, a stat for everyone out there, undefeated teams off a bye week in the last 20 years are 14-2 against the spread.
That's pretty good. So they've had a lot of time to think about it. You know who the coach of the Eagles was then, back in World War II, Max?
I did not.
The guy's name was Greasy Neal.
Nice.
Great name.
I like that.
Bring him back.
Yeah, yes. The coach of the Eagles should always just be called Greasy Neal.
Greasy Neal.
It's like how the grittiest player on LSU wears number 18.
Yeah.
It should just be Greasy Neal as the coach
Greasy
of the Eagles.
Greasy Neal. I like that. Okay, my over, I'm kind of riding with Billy in a different way. I'm taking over 39.5 in the Commanders Colts because I think the ability for both Taylor Heinicke and Sam Ehlinger to do fuck shit both ways is high.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome passes for touchdowns. Also, maybe some awesome passes for pick sixes.
Yeah. I think
there is a high volatility in this game.
It's a good game to double bet the defense / special teams touchdowns on both sides. For
yes.
Sure.
Yes. Okay. You're over, Billy.
I'm going Bears, Cowboys, 42.5.
Ooh.
Low number at Cowboys. I actually like the Bears' offense, watching them against the Patriots.
Thank you.
So, in the Cowboys, I think Dak's back.
Dak is back. Mm-hmm. Dak played last week. Yeah. Well, right. you were you're watching all the football, so you must have missed it.
Uh-huh. Right. Dak's back.
The whole game he
played. Dak's back, but we'll see what happens.
Dak didn't look that great last weekend.
No, though. He had a little rust. Yeah. A little rust.
So I could forgive Billy for not I think, being wowed like, by Dak's
performance. What I mean is, like, is Dak fully back?
Oh, okay. Yeah, he played a full game.
I know. So,
no, but
know,
he wasn't
is
fully
the rust off.
He wasn't fully back last week.
Right.
This week, I think
he's going to be back.
Fully back.
Yeah, fully back.
Fully back. Okay. Jake.
I'm with Billy. I heard Dak's back, so I like this over.
Okay, nice. Breaking news. Dak is back. Yeah. First reported on Pardon My Take. Okay, unders. Unders.
We talked about a PFT just did. I am going under Philly Steelers.
Ew.
Ooh. Ew.
I agree basically with everything that PFT said. I just don't think these Steelers are going to have any points in them.
Mm.
Their offense is gross to watch. The Steelers are good. They have Robert Quinn now. I think it's going to be a low-scoring blowout.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just need – just give me two touchdowns.
That's
a
lot.
That's all I need.
That's asking a lot.
Couldn't even get one against Buffalo.
I know. Just give me –
I really needed that.
Just give me one.
Yeah.
Give me one, and then let the Birds get up to, like, 35 points. 35-7.
That feels
– No, that – wait, that's still the under.
That's under.
But then they go for two. 35-8. 35-8, and that's a push.
35-8.
Just get me – I'm betting on a push this
game. Get a push. Okay, Max.
I think Dak is not back under.
Ooh. Okay.
How dare you?
I love that Max just straight up, like, does bet as a homer.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck the Cowboys.
I think I've gone negative towards the Giants or Cowboys every single time.
I love it.
Or every single week.
I can respect it.
Okay, you're under.
I'm taking the Lunder.
You're taking the Lunder.
Gotta take the Lunder. Jags, Broncos, going to be some wet, long grass over in England. You gotta take the under when the Jaguars are playing in London.
Okay, my under is going to be the Panthers-Falcons. We've already talked about this game at length, but I think both teams are just going to want to run the ball. And we've established that the Falcons will not pass more than 13 times a game. So just give me run plays all day under 41.5. Yep. Billy, under.
Dolphins-Lions, 57. 51. 51.
I love it at 57.
Mm. I know.
Love
I
it
misread
at
my note. 51.
Yeah. 51. Okay.
Just that's high. Those two teams.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points to cover.
Okay.
So.
And Jake, Lunder.
Lunder. It's our last chance.
Yep.
Yeah.
0-2 on the year. We have.
They're not playing at Tottenham this time. It's Wembley.
Yeah.
So that's good for you.
That's like
Tottenham's
the OG.
Tottenham's like, the over stadium.
Yeah.
Wembley is not.
November 13th, we have Seahawks-Bucks in Germany and Niners-Cardinals the week after in Mexico. So I'll be brainstorming.
Okay. How to do that.
Mexico over.
Oh, yeah.
The Mexico over sounds good.
That is fun.
I would take the under. They blitz a lot over there.
It's true.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. All right. All right. Games we missed. Cardinals-Vikings. I think this might be the fraud alert time. For the Vikings.
Fraud alert.
I think the Cardinals might win this game outright.
Yep.
And I think this might be the fraud alert time.
They're in the Hungry Dog Parlay. We should talk about the Mount Rushmore, too.
Yeah, so, yeah, we will. Yep.
I don't hate this because the Cardinals are actually good traveling east.
Yes,
they're the one team that's like, I think they're 13-4 when they go east.
It's funny because it's just a different way to, I was reading that same stat. It's just a different way to repackage it. The Cardinals suck at home.
Yeah.
Because every stat is like the Cardinals suck at home. And then you're like, yeah, when Kyler Murray's in the Eastern Standard Time or Central Time, he is like 15-4. It's like, well, yeah, he just sucks at home.
You could also repackage that as saying, like, when he plays on the East Coast servers.
Yes.
Like, they're maybe faster.
Yes, yes.
Faster upload times.
New Call of Duty out, right?
Yeah, comes out tonight.
Oh, no.
So, today.
All right, so maybe not fraud alert for the Vikings this week. Other game we missed, Raiders-Saints. Should we put Josh Jacobs in the Rushmore? He's been...
Yeah, I was going to put him on mine.
Beautiful.
I have two picks. One's a chalk pick. One's, you know, let's get nuts pick. I'll let you guys decide which.
Okay. Okay, so I think that's every game. We hit every game other than that.
Good for us.
Yeah, that was good for us. Good tight preview there.
I just think it's bullshit that the coach of the Saints, Dennis Allen, came out and said, Jameis is healthy, but we're sticking with Andy.
Yeah, that is bullshit.
That's fucked up.
I'm so sick of the Saints shit. I just am. They should be good, and they're not.
I don't know if they should be good, though.
I feel like they should.
They don't have Sean Payton anymore.
Yeah, expecting their defense to be good, and it's just not.
Payton would never... ever bench Jameis in favor of Andy Dalton.
That's a fact.
Sean Payton puts his nuts on the table.
That's a fact.
It's bullshit.
Okay, so we have Josh Jacobs in the Rushmore. Who else? I'll go mine. I'm going to just go back to the well, Kenneth Walker. He's going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year as long as he doesn't get hurt. Kenneth Walker.
Billy wants to take Sam Ehlinger and put like plus 3,000.
No. You're a moron,
no.
Billy.
No.
Well, I'm not crashing and burning with
you. Well, they can pick whatever they want, but Jake, like, that's where it's like you guys have to.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
To the
no,
same
we're not
conclusion.
Doing that. We're
okay.
Not doing that.
Billy's on a kamikaze mission. He's like, hey, could you, like, do navigation for me? No, yeah. I'm not getting in your plane, Billy.
All right. So, so we have Josh Jacobs, Kenneth Walker.
You want me to do nuts or chalk?
Well, give it. Give us the.
No, I want you to.
Oh, God.
For nuts, he's probably going to do Josh Allen again. No?
I want nuts.
Kyler Murray.
What?
It's kind of nuts.
Oh, you're man. Dead.
What about when they – didn't they play last year?
It's fraud alert. We just talked about it. They're going to fucking roll the Vikings.
Man.
It is fraud city.
He needs like four scrambles.
All right. So his rushing yards the last this season, 30, 100, 42, 26, 8, 28, 29. So he has not gotten it every game except one.
So he's due.
I don't know.
What was the non-nuts?
Saquon.
All right. You know what? If I asked for nuts, so we have to do nuts. Yes. Kyler Murray.
I literally left it up to
no,
you guys.
Yeah, no. You're right. All right. So now you're picking. We could just do Sam Ehlinger because we're not going to win it.
No, pick
him. No, don't Billy.
Come on, Big Cat.
All right, fine.
Well.
No, Billy, do another one. What do we got?
We'll go with Jonathan Taylor. He's got to bounce back. All right. Injuries and
all right, so yeah. Jonathan Taylor, Kenneth Walker, Josh Jacobs, Kyler Murray. That should be some decent odds.
We've hit it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, let's get nuts.
You know, we're up some units. We had some room
to
play.
Should we add Josh Allen? Fuck it. All right, that's our Mount Rushmore. We have won it 2 weeks in a row. Everyone go bet in the Barstool Sportsbook. Let's finish up the show with Firefest of the Week.
As the official golf cart of the Barstool Classic, Easy Go golf carts are built to perform. Built to outlast.
Four.
And built for a smooth ride, even in the deepest rough. Whether you're on the course or out on the town, with Easy Go, it's good to go. For a limited time, request a quote with code BARSTOOL to get $1,000 off a new 2024 golf cart at EasyGo.com. One more time, that's $1,000 off with code BARSTOOL at EasyGo.com when you request a quote.
All right, give us your Firefest.
All right, this is a real Firefest.
You can't get the lottery ball?
No. I'm going to win $5,000. I've had a few weeks where it's like, I don't have one. I'm just make something up, a little short story. This one's been rattling me. I've had, anxiety and just regrets about it all week. We were at LSU last weekend. Fred's Friday night. I got not just very drunk. I got pretty much legless.
Banged up.
Woke up on Saturday, like, my knees were on the ground, and I was face down, or, like, lying on the chair. Like, I wasn't even on the bed. I was fully clothed. I just, like, I just woke up, like, not even ass up, just, like, knees on the ground,
bent
head on
over?
The chair for whatever reason. Not bent over, just, like.
It sounds like you're in a bent over position.
I looked like Leo in Wolf of Wall Street, like, crawling to the car, basically. Like, I was just, like, kind of up. My arms were just up. My sink was on. And I was, like, holy fuck. That was, and then I, you know.
Well, your sink was on?
You drowned.
My sink was just running, yeah.
Okay.
I was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, we were at Fred's. I must have came home. It was fine. Whatever. I was fucked up, but whatever. Then I see we go to the – we go back to Fred's where the college football show was. I see this guy, Cam, who's like with Raising Cane's. Like, we met and became friendly at Final Four. And he was like, oh, like, good seeing you last night. And it was one of those moments where it all comes back to you. Like, you see someone and you're like, oh my God. I was like, I didn't get back from Fred's and go to sleep. I went into the casino and I saw he was with Drewski, who's like, I'm a huge fan of. I think he's the funniest dude in the world. And I remember, I was like, holy fuck. I was so fucked up. And I went up to him. And we obviously deal with like stoolies and AWLs. 99% of the time they're fine. And then there's the 1% of the time, like, they're just fucked up. And you're like, they're talking to you and you can tell, like, this dude's not going to remember any of this conversation. They're usually, like, kind of annoying because they're drunk and they don't realize how annoying they're being. And I just had the moment of realization where, like, I was that guy. Like, I went up to Drewski and was just like, oh, dude, I fucking love you. Like, you're so funny. And just, like, I don't even really remember what I was saying. I just remember, like, I was super, super fucked up talking to him and I probably was making an absolute fool of myself. And so, like, all week I've just been like, you're such a fucking idiot.
Did you get a picture with him?
Damn.
No. I was with Megan was there and she said that
that doesn't help.
Someone came up to well, yeah, it was probably her fault. But, like, someone came up to Drewski and was like, take a picture. Can we take a picture? And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And then I was, like, cross-eyed and, like, couldn't even take the picture. Like, I was, like, too drunk to take the picture. Megan was like, I had to, like, take the phone and, like, take the picture. So that is just, like, one of those, you know, I've just had it's been a firefest week where it's just like, God. You know, all week I've just been like, fuck.
What did you say? You should probably DM him and be like, yo, man, cool. Well, to then meet you.
We saw him on the field and like it'll probably be in stool scenes. He was like, saw him. He's like, oh, you were fucked up last night. And I was like, yeah, my bad. And then in the camera, this did not happen, but it's going to be in stool scenes. People are going to think it happened. He was like, yeah, this dude puked at the table. And I was like, what? And I was like, I didn't even play on tables, but like, he was like obviously joking around, but.
Yeah, totally.
That's it. That's out there.
Hank definitely believed him.
Hank definitely didn't puke at the table.
Nope. I did
stop
believe.
Stop saying he puked.
I did. No, well, he said it.
No, I just want to be crystal clear because it's going to be in stool scenes that you puked at the table. You did not.
I didn't even get on the table because I didn't have.
No, you weren't even close to the table.
Two things we found out on this show: Dak is back. Hank did not puke on the table.
Thank you for clearing that up. Mm-hmm.
I did not come on my cat. I did not come
on my
cat.
But yeah, that's just one of those like. It's just, you know,
it's the worst.
Drunken regret.
The worst. The worst.
Never meet your heroes when you're blackout drunk.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a lot of AW, like, you guys know exactly the type of person when they come up and you're just like, it's not even annoying. You're just like, this dude is not going to remember any of this conversation.
Right.
So let me just leave.
Yeah.
And that was me.
That's the worst feeling, too, is like the next day you see somebody and the first thing they say to you is, man, you were fucked up last night. Because then you just you try to replay back everything that happened.
Well,
but there's all these gaps, and you're like, you think the worst possible thing.
The worst was seeing
like puking on the table.
Yeah,
which he didn't do.
Thankfully, dodged a bullet.
Was seeing Cam, like his the guy he was with, and I'm friendly with. He was like, oh, like good seeing you last night, man. And then it was like the like everything started to flash back, and you're like, oh my god, I did see him last night. And he was with Drewski. And I was like,
table.
No, I did not.
And I went to his place and he had a tiger.
Yeah.
Bundled. Yeah.
Puked on the table.
Mangled. Did not puke on the table.
Didn't puke.
Pulled
on
my
table.
Tooth out.
I keep getting confused. You did not.
No.
Right.
I think my favorite part of that story, though, is Hank waking up, ass up on a chair with
the
sink
water on. Yeah. What the fuck? Okay.
That's a good one, Hank. That's a very good fire fest. I can't even really hold a candle to that. My fire fest is I got a pair of new shoes, and it's that thing where you think back at all the stuff that you wanted when you were a kid that your parents wouldn't get for you, and then you get older and you get a job, and you're like, you know what? I can get all the stuff my parents said was too expensive back then. So I got another pair of pennies today. Yesterday. I put them on for the first time.
Let me see. Penny twos. Oh, those are sick.
They're sick. They're clean. These are clean is what the kids are saying. And I wore low-cut socks with them.
Mm.
And the back of my heel hurts so bad
that
I can only walk for, like, I don't know, 30 feet at a time. Then I have to stop. I have to stop walking and then restart my walk after the blisters start to feel better.
Yeah.
Which is
six
tough.
Shoes.
Six shoes.
You look good.
Totally worth it.
All right.
It's like when girls wear heels. Sometimes you got to, you know, suffer for the fit.
Yeah. I should start to carry around like just a pair of flip-flops in a bag and then take my shoes off.
Wedding season.
Yeah, once you get drunk, take your shoes off. Finally.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
All right. I've alluded to this, but my son is now like actually interested in basketball. We play every night in his room. Problem is, it is confirmed he's a lefty, and I don't know what the fuck to do.
You got a witch.
I don't know how to teach him how. Like, I know it should be easy to just flip it, but I cannot. Like, it makes no sense to me shooting lefty. So I've been trying to show him, and it just isn't working.
Gotta give him a baseball.
Yeah, good point.
That's great.
Not even basketball.
Call over Uncle Hank.
Oh man,
I'll
you're gonna
some
have
lessons.
To show. Yeah, show him how to shoot lefty because it's just
I'm lefty too.
Are you?
Yeah. But, like, I'm not really
good. I hate lefties.
You guys are freaks.
Wait, you're not a lefty in golf, are you?
No.
No.
Ambidextrous.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just keep pushing righty so
fluid
he is ambidextrous.
Hips.
But it's just.
No.
It's a brain.
Is he all lefty?
Like he writes lefty. He
swings
a
bat.
Spoon lefty. And then when I was trying to teach him how to shoot, he was like, it wasn't computing for him. It wasn't computing for me. And then he did it with his left hand and it worked.
That's exactly what they did to Ben Simmons. That's what his father did. And now he can't shoot.
Okay.
So just keep him lefty.
But he is in the NBA.
No, Ben Simmons is right-handed.
Right.
But he shoots left-handed.
But
they switched it up on
him. Right, but he's in the NBA.
Right, but he can't shoot.
Right, but he's in the NBA.
So just, here's all you do.
Like, I would be fine with my son if he got to the NBA and couldn't shoot.
Here's all you do. Just take
right?
take but the hoop away.
6'10"?
Who knows? Right now he's like two and a half.
You gotta
two and a half feet tall.
Take the hoop away and let him work on his handles.
Yeah.
And go the Ben Simmons route on that one. Or I think Billy's right. Like, give him a baseball because a lefty in baseball, you might have struck a gold mine.
Yeah,
there.
That's true.
Lefty in baseball. Or you could try to... I don't know, like, what the laws are around parenting, so forgive me if this is out of bounds. Just tie his hand behind his back.
No, that's allowed.
And just have him walk around just only using his right hand for, like, a full week.
I'll just put his right hand in a cast.
Yeah, just break.
Like, you broke your hand.
No, I think they, like, did that in the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't allowed to be a lefty.
Tom Marinovich, right? Didn't his dad do all that shit?
Well, no, I think, like, in general, like, if you were a lefty, you would get, like, stoned to death.
Yeah, I remember reading some book about a pastor breaking his son's left hand so he became a righty.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't remember what the book was called.
I'm not going to do any of that. I just can't. My brain is too dumb to figure out how to teach something lefty when I'm not.
Just whatever you do, don't let him be a quarterback.
Yeah.
It just looks too weird.
It looks so weird. Again, though.
That's exciting.
If he's Tua, like, if he looks weird in the NFL, that'd be cool.
Creative. Creative cat.
Yeah. Fuck.
Creative kitten.
My brain is in a twister trying to figure out how to teach things lefty. Billy.
So the basketball team that Hank and I are on is 2-0 now. But we were tied up at the end of regulation. We were supposed to run an ISO play, so I was out of the way. And then it got messed up. I ended up getting the ball with time about to expire. I had a chance to win the game, and I missed. Mm. And I've been thinking about it. We ended up winning in overtime, but I had the chance to just, like, lock it up.
How bad was the shot?
It was a mid-range jumper.
Actually, almost went in.
Was it like you were? Was it?
I mean, Billy's shooting.
Were you hogging it?
No.
Was it someone open?
He was the third option.
Okay,
wasn't expecting to get the ball.
So you can't get mad at yourself.
I know, but I could have done it. I've been shooting well. We're in a league that has to shoot.
Hank's saying no, he has not been shooting well.
Well. Anyway,
use your words. This is a podcast.
No, positive vibes. We're having an amazing season.
Yeah, but Hank gave you this look like...
I think he was going to be like, well, you also played like shit and can't shoot, which is true, but...
No, but anyway.
I don't think you hit a jumper. I haven't either. I haven't either.
But once Hank gets hot, he's hot.
I had 10
points.
I've
said it before. Hank playing basketball, like, he will show up and he will literally miss the rim and hit the side of the, like, the side of the backboard, and then he'll hit, like, 10 in a row swish.
Anyway, we're transitioning from outdoor courts to indoor courts. The shot hasn't really adapted yet. I just need to show up 15 minutes early before the games.
So it should be an easy transition.
Actually, should be zero. Because
I've been playing on weak rims.
That's like saying a batting donut to not.
Wait,
like,
so you're playing
all time funny moment with these refs. The game ended, the Billy missed a shot, and the refs go, "All right, that's it. There's no overtime in regulation or in regular season." Everyone's like, "What the fuck?" And then we convinced the ref to give us 2 minutes of overtime.
Yeah.
But the refs were, like, ready to just leave.
Yeah.
Like, all right, game's over. Todd.
But we had an awesome game. I mean, that was one of our toughest opponents. We played a bunch of firefighters who had, like, set plays and everything. But now we also have to learn, like, we had first time with refs, so we have to shoot free throws now. So, like, we have to start practicing.
So you paid some refs to make first responders stay longer so you could beat them.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
That's what happened.
Okay.
But it was fun.
That does sound fun. Jake, finish us off.
So my apartment's elevator broke.
Oh,
there's
no.
There's only one elevator, and we're on the 7th of 8th floors. That's for the whole weekend.
Was anyone at the bottom when it happened?
Hank,
No, I don't think anyone got stuck.
Okay.
Come on, Hank.
But, yeah, it was a lot of stairs over the weekend, but it's all good.
What are you working with, an Otis or a Thyssen Krupp?
I have no clue.
I'm an Otis man. I'm an Otis man. I've got a lot of experience dealing with broken elevators, and in New York, it's really a come to Jesus moment of realization when your elevator breaks down and you get in touch with your building super and you realize that he just has no motivation to fix it quickly and he can tell you at any given time, well, tough shit, just take the stairs. And then you're like, well, I guess I'm on a walk up now.
Yeah, that was tough.
That is tough. I'm sorry. Right. Sorry for your loss.
Your calves are going to look good, though.
Yeah, we're good.
So Hank wants to get his first win with Edelman in the room. But we should do our picks right now. He can just do his later.
Do you want?
No, he doesn't get to pick now. I just
want
17 to hit.
No,
when he's not. Yeah. All right. So what's everyone else's?
I'm doing 87.
69.
Wait, are you picking now?
He's going 87. Yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah,
17.
No, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. If we're all picking,
you should let the guests pick tonight, regardless.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let the guests pick tonight.
So
regardless.
We'll get two.
Yeah, we'll get two.
All right, 87.
You know what? Fine. I'll let you have two shots at it today.
Thanks.
All right,
17.
18.
32. Hank, you said 89?
87.
87, okay. I will
watch PMTV for the history of the lottery ball. 20.
What's yours, Jake?
18.
78.
Oh, the reciprocal.
Oh, hey. That's tough. 78.
If you read it
so
backwards,
close.
If you read it in Hebrew, he got it.
Yeah. There you point. Go, Hank. That's got to count for something. You had two shots and you didn't get it. We haven't even taped Edelman yet, but I guarantee you won't get that one either.
Oh, man. And the painting behind Hank fell
off.
Oh,
it's a new number.
New number. Wow. The lottery ball machine is going to, in its quest, how many numbers do we have left?
6, 26, 27, 29.
That's it. So four numbers to beat Hank.
It's man versus machine. It's like John Henry.
Oh, man. 78. You were so close. You were so close. I'll see everyone on Monday.
Love you guys.
A bar-tailed godwit flew from Alaska to Tasmania in 11 days. That's a bird flying across the earth.
Go birds.
To both poles
Go
in 11 birds. Days. Almost as fast as a Boeing 747. Not exactly, but
no.
It's just really impressive.